Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
That little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, but it said Mr. Worldwide. You already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC. Let's go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire. Now, Babo, you know that you could get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now, that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement. And the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.
I have been fed, that's a fact.
I have been fed, that's a fact.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's PowerCash Rewards Card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, figgins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Episode, I found that out about 5 minutes ago.
Is it really?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Didn't you just read my tweet?
No.
You laugh.
I saw you circled me in the background. Yeah. So
200 shows we've done. It took like 4 years to do 200 Schmo shows. We've done it in 6 months here or something.
Yeah. One year.
Yeah, it's pretty much 1 year.
I was trying to be a little bit more.
That's the other part. This is our 1 year.
This is actually 1 year.
I think 1 year is this week or something.
Look at us.
Tomorrow is 1 year.
Thank you. Alex. I love that Alex knows more. So, look, none of you are important because the main thing right now is that Cody Hall, the beloved Cody Hall, is now a father. Cody Hall is a father. His lovely lady, healthy. Baby's healthy. Everything is good. He is terrified, and I told him, "Listen, just follow your instincts. Even though if your instincts seem like they're bad, just follow them.
Yeah.
And you know, unless you're Roxy,
do not follow. And you tweeted out like everybody wants me to be their doula, and I was like, they do not.
No one wants.
All the people have been asking.
Yeah. That's in your head of what a doula is. You're right.
Yeah.
But it is an incorrect representation of what
a doula
is. In your head, you might very well be. Hello, all you doulas out there, and welcome back to Josh McCouga.
Hey, buddy. I haven't seen you guys in a long time.
I haven't seen you in a while. It's been a bit.
You were on vacation. I went on vacation.
I know.
That shirt is reminding me. Swoosh, swoop, swoosh. No? Nobody watched that episode of Friends?
No.
When you go to Vail?
Mm.
No.
Sometimes I feel like we're in this cart. Right?
and then take us off.
But we're just driving down this road, and it's the second. Mm. And Makuga's like, yeah, let's go down this road. I'm like, all right, we're going. And then Roxy goes, nope, right off the fucking cliff. And I was talking about his vacation.
He was on vacation. He's in a Vail shirt. I'm assuming he was in Vail.
With the cast from Friends.
Were you in Vail?
I was.
Okay.
Glad we got to the bottom of that.
The way you described that, too, is kind of like, you know, in the first Jackass movie when it opened, the opening credits, and it's slow motion, they're all in that cart, and all of a sudden, fireworks of like bricks start hitting the guy in the face.
100%.
That's Roxy when it comes to stories sometimes.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you guys. So good to be here.
It's so funny, though, because Roxy was like, she calls me the other, last night she texted me. She was like, are you not on the show? I'm like, no, I'm on the show. And she's like, oh, and she circles the rundown, and it says, Mark Reilly, Roxy Stryer, Josh McCouga, and Mark Reilly.
Yeah. I doubled up there. Yeah.
I sincerely thought somebody was fucking with me today or last night. I go to open the rundown, and first of all, it says Collider Live 200. So I'm sitting there thinking, aren't we going to do anything?
Yeah.
200. And then I look, and I see Christian's not on the show, and Mark's on twice. So I was like, interesting. And then I see that my ex-boyfriend is coming on as a guest today. So I was like, oh, somebody's really...
Yeah, we got the guy from Boston in the basement. Yeah.
So now I know how to fuck with Roxy on the outline.
Seriously, I was like, is this an April Fool's prank?
I know.
What's happening?
Long weekend.
August Fool's?
It's the one-year prank.
Yeah.
It's the one-year prank.
Well, that's tomorrow. What are you guys going to do to me tomorrow?
I don't know. I'm not going to be here.
Is that true?
No. But Adam Smith is here. Hello, Adam.
Yeah, Adam.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Adam, not too well.
No, he's not doing too good. Sounds like sore throat. Yeah, sore throat.
Good to be here, Johansson.
Hey, Alex is here.
I am.
Yes, thank you, Alex. Alex is going to help me out a little later. I tweeted out a picture last night. I got the studio running. Because you know, Brett and I are going to start doing a show. I said that.
Was it just the picture of Brett that you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't see anything though.
Well, that was the point. It was if you zoomed in, you would see. You would see it said. It said we're about to go live in a couple of weeks.
It was Brett's big face.
It's Brett's big face, but it was cool. So Alex is going to help out doing that. We're going to. So if you want to get your fix of Brett, you can get Brett over there. We're also going to do Inside Schmodown, and I can make the announcement that both Ken Knapsack will be doing Inside Schmodown live with his new co-host.
Who? What?
Roxy Stryer.
Hey!
Oh, that's me.
It'll be a live show answering questions with competitors and stuff too. So that
I'm excited to be back with Ken.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. I'm looking forward to. You're not going to New York, are you?
No, because I can. Yeah.
Hey, balls in a cracker. We are going to New York, guys. So that'll be on Friday. No, next week. Holy shit. So the SchmodownLive.com. Get those tickets because we are approaching that really fast. That Arizona, that one you will be at.
I will be.
You'll be competing in that one.
I will be.
And that's
when is Arizona? Party.
That is September 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Orlando. See, didn't happen today. October. Oh my
yes!
God!
Yes, got October. It. Adam Smith coming
October,
in hot.
October.
Oh, Alex is on. Alex is going like this.
October 19th in Orlando, and then finally.
Oh, it still goes. It's a long one.
Oh, because he wants to play. By the time, because Cody's not here, by the time this show ends on Friday, Alex will be having his band in that room singing the Orlando thing.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea.
It does.
Actually.
It does.
How funny would it be if we could just get like a house band of Alex and like three people just jammed back in here and just like, yeah.
Alex, one person with a triangle.
Alex, what's this thing about? Are you in love now all of a sudden?
Why would happen?
I kind of met.
You're smitten.
Well, I'm smitten, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
What did he tweet?
I only bring this up because
I'm
going to
bring it up unless they're going to bring it
that's
up.
That's what I'm saying. When you bring it out, you should bring it up. Okay. I don't ever bring up stuff unless it's out. Well, unless it's out there.
Wait, did you know about it prior to the tweet?
No,
he's being
I saw
too
the
slow.
Tweet.
Can I please look? I got to know what it says.
I don't know what he's doing. He is not going to pull up his own tweet.
Okay, I'm going to look.
Wait, I can.
All right, so do it, Alex. Alex, tell us.
Three computers in front of me.
So what happened, Alex? Tell us. Can we talk about this? Do you want to talk about? I mean, you tweeted about it, so I figured.
I mean,
about it.
I mean, I just.
Is it about this dog's journey?
I made a connection.
Was it a dating app?
Oh no! It was just at work, and
at
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see the tweet.
Got her phone number.
We liked the
number.
And we liked the girl. Do we want to bring her? Should we interview her?
I don't know if we're that far yet.
Not easy.
When the hell did you tweet it?
Hopefully so.
What, she's listening right now. She's running for the hills. I'm kidding.
August 13, right here on the screen.
There is it. Oh, there seems like I got to get used to this whole heart fluttering thing again. See, I like that.
Oh.
I like that little tweet because it's
that I had a heart condition.
that's the internet.
Good. Yeah.
Oh, they're doing my Blake dance. That was my Blake dance. Okay, the Blake dance. I have also – well, listen, I want some updates here. Just don't do what Roka did and, you know, you want to elope after like 3 days. But it's working out for him.
Yeah, he's doing well with it. So.
This is what Thrawn2K5 responded.
Yeah.
What you mean, kid? You good?
I know you're good. You know why?
The palpitations.
No, I got a text from Roxy.
I couldn't possibly know why.
It made me very happy.
Oh, I know why
It made me very happy. I'm getting a lot of these texts and tweets from people, but this one really made me happy. Mm. Roxy finally watched Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes.
Oh,
Because you know I'm good.
You already gave it away.
Well, I was going to say to them, do you think she hated it, liked it, loved it?
Oh,
the answer is love.
I mean, it's basically Big Brother on an island.
Yeah. Did you catch up?
Big Brother is better.
With hotter people.
Big Brother is better.
But you're liking this
but
a lot.
But I'm loving it. Big Brother has 20 years of my life.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I can't just throw that away.
But you watched every episode, correct?
I binged everything now. And I went back. But I'm bummed because now I wish I didn't know anything. Because you guys had told me everything.
You told us to.
Yeah, I know. But so then finally now here we are. And then last night I'm so excited and I like get home and I'm like, all right. I'm ready for my Bachelor in Paradise. And somebody
tonight.
Lied to me.
Yeah, it's tonight.
Yeah,
I just felt like it was a Sunday show.
Well, we're going to get the follow-up to that fight.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I felt bad for Clay.
Over Clay. But not for
He's
Christian.
He's so
awesome.
Sweet.
It was fun to watch Christian get thrown off of that dock.
Can't wait.
You guys poorly described
it. I need to. I think I missed the last two. Like, we tried to watch a couple on the vacation. We got home on the Monday night and took a California edible or Colorado edible, and
it was good night.
We were like enjoying the shit out of Bachelor in Paradise, and then we both passed out.
Well, this is the difference between what you're going through in your relationship and what I'm going through.
Oh, okay.
Because you guys have no kids, so you can your vacation, you're enjoying it, and you're having some edibles, and you're like, yeah, fuck it, we just fell asleep.
Yeah,
we. fought for that Bachelor in Paradise episode like it was like we were on an island and that was the water that we needed to drink because that was the only bit of entertainment that we got that didn't have Doc McStuffins. So it was but with the two of us we had the split headphones. You couldn't pry us away from that.
Yes.
But you got to catch up.
Yeah, I will.
Because you're gonna see some great stuff. And sure. I had so many people like that are cursing me.
You
on
don't know what's
Twitter.
Happened.
No.
Yeah, you know. No. So, well, tomorrow we're gonna talk about it.
You guys didn't really break down the Demi situation, and I'm curious your thoughts. I really do like Demi, but I'm wondering.
She was a crazy person in Colton season. The best part about Colton season is when she calls her mom from prison. Or like right after the mom gets
her
out
mom
of prison,
right.
And you see Colton's face like as she's like they're talking to each other like this is my mom's out of prison, and Colton's like.
Especially when she said, you know, if you dick over my daughter, I'll shank you, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's not what I'm talking about at all, though.
No, I know.
What I'm talking about is the fact that it feels like she's considering and possibly planning on dating both of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that,
male and female?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Who's the guy?
He looks like John Krasinski's goofy brother.
Oh, Dylan.
Phil?
No, wait.
No.
He looks like a Phil, but it's I don't know what his name is.
I forget his name, too. I'm a little surprised that he was okay with that. Not with the fact that he was okay that she likes men and women, but the fact that she kind of painted this picture where she is like, I like you both. Maybe I'll date you both. And he was like, we'll just take it slow. What?
I don't know. Maybe he's looking to get some action when he gets back. And see what
is that what you think?
Maybe.
I was. He just seems like such a
Derek.
Derek. That's who it is.
That doesn't even sound familiar.
No.
Seems
but
like,
you see what I'm looking at? He looks like the goofy younger brother.
Yeah, totally. Did you guys think that was interesting or no?
I do, but what I hate, this is what Winston and I said. They gave it too much in the trailer. They show everything that's about to happen. They show that a bunch of times. But anyway, so this is, like I told you guys, I love the people that have been tweeting me and telling me, like, we've got a lot of people on the show. Mm-hmm. People who never in a million years. Frankie Numbers is watching the show.
Oh, yes.
People who never in a million years would have thought they'd be watching it are watching the show now because it is just, like I said, you're going to follow along with us while we watch this season. And it's been a blast.
I really should have caught up earlier because the stuff that I have been watching to catch up has, like, depressed me beyond depression.
Yeah. What did you watch?
Glow Season 3.
Oh,
amazing.
You didn't like
you
it?
Didn't like it?
I'm so depressed by it.
Don't tell me what happens.
I won't.
Wait, I don't even know. I saw
you watched
it.
The whole
I have
season.
No idea what you're talking about.
It's just like.
You're depressed by it? The storyline?
Yeah, because it's just. Everybody's sad, and it's like give up on the Hollywood dream kind of a scene.
Whoa.
That kind of a thing.
I so feel.
Opposite.
Differently. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to finish it, and I'll have a conflicting report.
Last Chance You. Freed does it.
Yeah, I know.
What does it?
My buddy.
Andrew Freed is an executive producer on it. And it's just so sad. It's like the saddest. It's about a junior college football program, and these kids, all they have is football, and they totally ignore education, and they've never been taught anything. They can't read. They can't write. They have no concept of grammar. All they have is the hope that they make it to the NFL, and they're stuck at a JUCO in Kansas, and none of them will make the NFL. The only time you've ever seen any one of them from Last Chance U maybe even come close to the NFL was this year on Hard Knocks. This guy, Ronald Ollie, was cut first day of
camp. What's the point of the show?
The point of the show is to show what I think is the – situation of football at a lower D1 level because it's called Last Chance U, right? These guys have been either transferred from D1 colleges where they were kicked off for drugs or behavior or couldn't cut it with grades, and they go to JUCO, junior college or community college as you call it, and they have these huge football programs in order to breed Division I college athletes, right? And they are just given a pass at every turn because these teachers just – they are trying so hard. But they can only do so much before these kids just either fail or don't care or whatever. And all they care about is football. And their only thing is the NFL. And it's – you can just tell there's 0.001% of kids that make it to the NFL.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And these kids aren't – just not going to do it. And there's no other option but going back to their – terrible, terrible hometowns and getting into drugs and gangs, and it's just it's brutal.
It sounds like the legitimately most miserable show I've
ever. It does, but I can put you in a good mood.
Yes.
Because you seem sad now.
Sure.
So we did a poll on the Schmodown for where we should go next season.
Oh, yeah.
And we got over 5,000 votes, which was big. At 22% was Pittsburgh.
Yes.
22%.
Which is the lowest percentage of any of the places on the poll.
What's 20% of 5,000? That's a
good number.
There's only four places that you put on the poll.
It was, and the third place was 23.
Right, but he came in last.
But he still has. I mean, but it's still saying there's over.
He's
there's
looking
over,
at the bright side.
There's over
here,
a thousand. Right? But there's over 1,000 people that want to come see from.
Hell yeah!
And you know, usually that transfers over. Let's say 400 people.
Sure.
Right. So I called. I called Jonathan, who runs our live events, and I said, "Well, you know, I told Megan first, and Megan's like, well, maybe we do Philly." You know,
and you know half of the city isn't on Twitter or Schmodown Live that
right.
knows me.
Right, right. Yeah. So I said, I was like, well, you know, we'll look into it. And I told Jonathan. Yeah. Jonathan goes, no, we do Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh looks like it's gonna happen next season.
But not until Boston happens.
Boston's going to happen. Pittsburgh's going to happen. Atlanta's going to happen.
Nice. Chicago.
Brooklyn's going to happen. Chicago's going to happen.
Fuck yeah.
And then we're going to do back-to-back SoCal. We're going to do Free for All in March again, and looking at downtown, and then we're going to do Anaheim because of Star Wars Celebration.
Oh yeah!
We already have a ton of cities
next season.
It's going to be good.
As of right now, yes. I don't have any weddings in 2020. As of right now,
don't book one in March.
You do have one in 2020.
Oh, yours.
Yeah.
But
y'all do.
That's true.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
And that's April.
That's April.
We got to make sure.
April 11th.
When is bring up Star Wars Celebration, please. When is Star Wars Celebration 2020?
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck.
Here we go.
I feel sick.
When is it? Dates. Put on dates. 2020 dates.
August.
27th. No, is it?
August.
It's August 27th.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I thought
it was April. Normally
it's my God. My brain just melted because I fucking looked at it because okay.
It's usually April. That's why
it's usually April. No, but I'm looking at because we might be doing –
we're not doing back-to-back SoCal. Okay.
We're trying to do Star Wars Celebration in 30 – sorry, Star Wars Trilogy in 30 minutes at Celebration in Anaheim.
So you just freaked out. Okay.
Yeah. So I freaked out across the board.
You're trying to do what?
The play that I used to do where we did all the movies on stage.
So it'll be August. Okay, that's good. So that means that we won't do back-to-back SoCal. That's even better. But D23 is this weekend.
Yeah. Oh.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Are you going?
No.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
So Friday.
Do you know, like, that is a silly – no, I'm kidding.
You have a Comic-Con sometimes.
Yeah,
I do.
So Friday I will not be here because I'm going to be covering for Collider, and we're going to be – doing all the Disney Plus stuff on Friday, which you're
What are you doing? You're going in, you're listening to panels?
Yeah, and then we'll talk about it on this show next week.
I'm sure they'll do some more Mandalorian stuff for sure.
Definitely
right?
Mandalorian. They're going to do – because Obi-Wan looks like it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to announce Obi-Wan.
So they're gonna, and Ewan McGregor will probably pop out, and that'll be the big news. That and all the other programs and stuff, they're going to have like Tom Hiddleston probably come out.
Sure. Do you think that they just weren't able to keep the Obi-Wan news under wraps until it?
Yeah, that's I think it got spoiled bummer. Similar to what happened
at
Comic-Con. Because
how cool would that have been?
Yeah.
If no prior knowledge to it. I mean, we all speculate.
It always happens. Look at what happened with Taika Waititi in the Thor movie right before Comic-Con. You know, shit happens all the time. Yeah. So, and then Saturday will be – I think they're going to drop a trailer for Episode 9. Something.
Yeah. New trailer.
Or some behind-the-scenes bullshit. Yeah.
It's the right time.
It is.
It's August right now.
Yeah, sometimes they – but
sometimes they save it for Monday Night Football.
That's usually what they've been doing, but maybe because of D23 they release something. And if they if the – you know, the pop is big enough on Friday because of the Obi-Wan stuff that maybe they don't necessarily need to do, and they just do a behind-the-scenes
thing. Wait to call an audible?
Oh, no. They won't call an audible. I'm just saying that maybe they, you know, if – I don't think it'll most likely be some kind of trailer because we got
the first – the Chewie We're Home trailer
in
Force Awakens at D23.
But we didn't get shit until like September, October.
Yeah.
Afterwards, but that's
we had that teaser. We had the first teaser in Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
and then
remember D23 though was usually like October at some point.
Yeah, when was it?
And you'll either get Monday Night Football or you'll get Good Morning America. One of those,
maybe, right. or maybe more stuff afterwards too. But I think either way, I think this D23 you're gonna get the most news that you've ever gotten out of anything.
There's nothing quite like the Monday Night Football crew going like. The new trailer. Like, it's just dudes that have never watched Star Wars.
There's stormtroopers on the field right
like
now.
Like, Booker McFarlane 2 years ago was, I mean, he was so awkward announcing that Star Wars trailer.
I feel like it's a lot of wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That was
looks like there's going to be some stars, possibly some wars.
Some wars, yes.
But anyway, so D23 comes up this weekend. I think we're going to get some good shit. So be prepared for that. Next week, we're going to do some pre-tape stuff. So Thursday and Friday will probably be pre-tape, but we are going
Why are we
to
doing
do
that?
I'm going to be in New York on next Thursday and Friday. So I want to do Q&A stuff for the fans. So
pre-taping live?
Yeah, pre-taping live. So.
Can I go?
What are you talking about? What do you mean? To where?
To the pre-tape.
Oh, the pre-tape. I thought you said like because of New York. Because I was like, I can't tell you how many times you've asked about New York.
Well, I'm going to keep asking until you figure it out.
The pre-tape – The pre-tape will be a Q&A. What we'll do is probably turn the phone lines on, tweet it out, let you guys know, and just do some stuff there. So that'll be next week. A lot of cool stuff happening. I was moving the last couple
of days. Did you move into your new place?
Yeah. Nice. I mean, it's just it's like everything is – it's like the money pit at this point.
I want to move in. It looks so nice.
But it is. It's like the money pit. It's like the freaking the dishwasher's not working the right way. The dryer's not working the right way.
But don't they have to take care of that for you?
Yeah, they're doing it today. But it's just like my wife was just like – We were laughing 2 weeks. About it.
2 weeks.
It had a long time.
No. That's the money pit. Right.
2 weeks. But what I did find is, and when I'm moving all my stuff, and I have, and there's old things that I've been in my, because my old place was, we had this closet. It was downstairs in the garage, and everything was just packed up and piled in, and I haven't seen shit forever. So this is the best. I find this ring that I got. I got it like when I was 16 years old, and it's this little gold piece of shit ring, and it's got a crack in it. And this thing, I went through college with this thing, and it was like I remember one time it was in the snow, and I threw something, and the ring came off. I was like, well, there goes the ring. This is like 90. This was my first one with Iona my first year.
Oh, you didn't go to Florida State, right?
Not the first year. I transferred. And I was like, oh, the ring's
gone. Iona's in Pennsylvania, isn't it? Or is that
New Rochelle?
New Rochelle.
So I threw the ring, and I'm like, it's gone. I don't know, it was like a week and a half later, I was walking on campus, and I found the ring. I can't tell you how many times that happened, right, with this ring. So this is so then I don't know, it's maybe years ago. I'm like, oh, I lost the ring. I don't know how I lost it. I'm cleaning the garage. I find the ring. I'm like, yes. And I take it. And I was like, this the my lucky ring. I put it on the fucking fireplace.
You left it.
Last night I say to my wife, I go, oh, do you know where'd you put that ring? She's like, what ring? I go, the gold ring that was there. She's like, that was yours? I'm like, yeah, I've had that ring for like 25 years. She's like, I threw it out. I thought that the workers left it here. And it's like, it was my ring. She's like, she goes, I've never seen that ring because I haven't seen that ring in over 10 years.
Yeah. Did you get upset with her or were you smiling like this?
It was a mixture of both.
It'll come back to you. I guarantee you.
I know where it is. It's in the garbage, loosely in the garbage. Yeah. And I'm contemplating dumping the thing over just to find out because there's so much shit in there. She's like, I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to because I want to see if the fucking thing just shows up.
Yes, because I think it's possessed or something.
It might be.
It might have an evil entity attached to it, and it's going to keep coming.
It was
back
my ex-girlfriend, so probably why.
She fucking was like, yeah. So let's just. This is an
she
experiment
gave it to you?
Now. When I graduated high school, she gave it to me, and it's not. It has nothing to do with her. It's just the fact that like I can't.
Was it a class ring?
No, it was just a ring that she bought for me.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do – it could have been bought from anybody.
Yeah.
But it was just the fact that people don't understand this ring. It was like Gollum. Yeah. You know, it was like – it just kept coming back.
Wow. It's swimming pool.
You can't wait. You hear this and you wake up and you look to your – and it's there.
It's there.
And you're
it was so weird because like I thought it was gone.
It's Jumanji.
I haven't seen it in 10 years, dude. I haven't seen it in 10 years and it popped up and then not 24 hours is it on the thing and it gets thrown out. It was pretty amazing. It's a pretty funny story.
So we were we went over – first of all, talking about like Cody's baby, your babies, whatever. Yeah. Our two best friends have had a baby.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You sound like me.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a baby, whatever.
Whatever. No big deal. Congrats, Cody.
Yeah.
Our two best friends, like I was best man in their wedding. She was maid of honor in our wedding. They just had a baby about 6 weeks ago. So we've been over there a bunch, like helping them take care of the baby and eating dinners and hanging out and whatever. So it's like – you know, my brother's had three kids, but like I would go for a weekend and then I wouldn't see him for like 2 or 3 months. And then I'd go back and like, you know, kids grow so damn quick.
Right.
But we've been there like almost like twice a week for the last 6 weeks. So we start getting into this conversation about, you know, like the kids and like, you know, meeting up first and all this kind of stuff. And I'm holding the baby and it like throws up all over me. Like, aren't you guys psyched for babies? I'm like, nah, it's no big deal. And like, so we get in this conversation about like first time, like things that wives throw away, right? And they start talking about things like his wife threw away like a couple of his hockey memorabilia and he was like – he freaked out. And we start talking about like our first outfits we wore when we like met each other. And I was like, I was wearing this penguin shirt, and Amanda's like, oh, I just threw that out. I was like, you did what? I was like, that was from my youth. Like, I've had that for 30 plus years.
Wait, she went through your clothes and she threw out your
shirt? No, because it didn't fit anymore, so I gave it to her. And she would wear it to like sleep in and stuff. And she was like, oh, that had so many holes in it. I was like, that was from like 1991 when the Penguins won their first effing Stanley Cup. Like, the sentimentality of like dude stuff, the girls don't get.
No, it happens. Like, what? So many times.
So not true. You don't think girls have things that they're sentimental about?
No, we're sentimental about.
Yes, it's the reason why. Of course there's stuff that
of course she's sentimental about stuff. But
we're
like,
saying particular reasons of why we happen to be sentimental about certain things. Because my wife is the same way. Like, there'll be stuff. I can't tell you how many things are in my office now at home because they're protected from her.
Yes.
I locked the door so she's got a key anyway, but still, it's like, stay out of there because that's the stuff that
I
don't
like,
want
can we throw this
touch.
Way? I was like, that's the last time my grandfather and I played golf together. That's the scorecard. She's like, oh, it looks like terrible. I was like, that's
– There's something there.
There's there.
Stop that. Yeah.
Wow, I totally get that stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think Amanda, she's not a hoarder. And I'm definitely not a hoarder, but I come from a family of hoarders.
Yeah.
And like everything
so
has
you.
A scent.
It's in you.
Yes.
It's
I mean, I throw away a lot of shit.
But,
but
it hurts when you do it.
Like all the time, I mean, it's like I'm cleaning out my closet. Like, you did that like 3 effing weeks ago. Yeah. Like, I just keep my stuff. I like my stuff.
I am an absolute hoarder.
All right. Yeah, so you understand that.
But I have learned that I can't be because there's just not enough space in Los Angeles to have like an extra room to hoard. Like, but I, oh my God, if I could keep everything, I have a feeling about everything. Everything matters to me.
Everything matters.
Literally everything I own matters to me.
I understand. I get it. And that's the kind of where we're coming from. But I realize also a lot about myself through this move. I definitely have a problem. I have a problem. Last night, sit down after we've been walking around doing all this moving and the move from the old place to the new place right now. I've gone back over. My wife actually made me laugh last night because we were supposed to be out of the place last week at a particular – whatever day it was. And then we hand in the keys to the old place, right? But my mother-in-law said, I still have 2 of the keys. And I was like, oh, you know what? It's perfect because I left some shit in there.
Yeah.
So I went back in. You know, I saw they had already put a lockbox a key box for people. Sure. So I got in there. I forgot the shit. Like my wife left this can or whatever the fuck, the stupid can. So I go in there. And yesterday, Brett had bought these bulbs for me, these really expensive bulbs. And he's like, you didn't get the bulbs? Like, shit, so I go back over to get the bulbs, and my wife goes, well, it's good that we've been trespassing in the old one.
100%.
So I did that, but I realized the problem that I had last night after being relaxed and calming down is I sit down, and I did contemplate turning on the thing. I contemplated. I didn't do it, though.
Yeah, of course you didn't.
So, and there's all these shows that I want to watch, and there's all these things I want to watch.
But instead,
I watched Notting Hill.
So
that's
good.
A great movie.
Notting Hill's amazing.
Are you kidding me? I love that movie.
Yeah. But I watched it because I saw Julia Roberts' face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I go, and I said, I got a problem.
She'll get you.
She's the only, and he said it to me the other day. He's like, that's why you married your wife. And I was like, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's funny because my.
So do you think she looks like her or reminds you of her?
There's mannerisms. There's a lot of things that she does that in my post.
She was a prostitute at one point.
It's true. On Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
It's true.
Nice thing to say about somebody's wife.
And it says the guy who got all mad at Greg Alba
about
the vagina thing at the live event.
Listen.
Okay. That was Greg Alba?
Yes.
Yeah.
That dude did that?
Yeah.
I was just with him.
I wasn't as upset until I saw my wife's face, and I was like, now
you're
I'm
being,
upset.
You're being protective.
Yeah.
Because the joke –
No,
joke
that
is
was, like, it was rude. He should not have said that.
He shouldn't have said it, but he was saying in a joking manner that he figured – like something you would say
in
to your
rap
friend.
Song.
But you know, something you would say to your friend that you've been buddies for a long time, and if you knew your friend's wife and then she wasn't going to get upset.
Here's what I will say, though, after knowing him like slightly better now than when you initially said that story. He
is an absolute idiot and has no filter.
No, that's not what I'm about to say. But I understand why off that comment you would say that.
I love
that. He gets like shakingly nervous to do anything.
Oh,
like,
really?
So I think like foot and mouth. I think he overthought it. Try like what's a joke? What would I do? And he got so nervous that he talked about your wife's vagina.
I bet you 100% you're right. He's like, it's Makuga. You know,
it's
my buddy.
This is cool. Yeah. What do I say? It'll get the laugh.
The rap was funny, but
not standing up for it because still.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what are you thinking, bro? I think that's probably what happened.
Especially that his wife was in the audience. You know, it's like
just the whole thing.
But have you ever talked to him about that?
No.
He probably has no idea that you were offended by it.
Yikes.
Oh, no. I'm sure
we had a live
show tweet about it. Yeah.
I love Greg Alba. I think he's I think that was a silly thing to say.
No, I appreciate Greg Alba. Yeah. He's a good dude. But, he means well.
He does.
Slip of the tongue.
Yeah.
But don't let your tongue slip there. Another man's wife's vagina.
Well done, Roxy. An unintentional
Roxy,
joke that, you
that
really
was
did.
One of the greatest things I've ever
good.
Seen.
It was good.
Let's hear it for Roxy, everybody.
I did think of your...
It took 200 shows, but we got the best joke.
Wow.
No, I did think the Bill Cosby thing is the best thing ever still. Still my favorite.
What's that?
Cosby said something on Twitter. I can't remember what it was. And Roxy just wrote back, read the room, Bill.
Oh, yes.
So good. Totally. That one made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, a good one.
All right, you filthy fucks. Let's move on to to news.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff that we should be
talking
about.
Should we tease this comic book shopping?
Yeah, we should.
So,
tomorrow.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Jackson A. Dunn from Brightburn
yeah.
is going to be on comic book shopping. If you guys don't watch comic book shopping, Corey John Drow, which we learned on the show last week, he does a fantastic job on the show, you know, replacing the great John Schnepp, which is impossible to do.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson A. Dunn from Brightburn. Did you see Brightburn?
Yes.
I have the Blu-ray at my house. This
is the boy in Brightburn, he's got chops, yo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The movie I thought was very good. I know that some people loved it, some people not as much, but I haven't seen one person say anything other than the fact that the boy was phenomenal.
Awesome.
Yeah. He's really great.
Yeah, okay, good. I want to hear about – I want to watch that movie. I mean,
star in the making.
Yeah, so good. Well, check that out, guys. Make sure you watch Comic Book Shopping. Before we actually move on, it reminded me when you said he's got chop show. I was like, that'd be a good shirt. But we are going to start putting out Collider Live shirts.
Yes,
that's
we are.
Something that's going to happen soon. You want one? Well,
this
is what I was going to ask.
Be a shirt.
So – Alex, can we do a poll? I guess we're going to have to do it on the Collider Live one. So six people will vote on it. But let's see if we can get...
What should they say?
We'll get Collider
Collider Video to retweet it.
Yeah.
Let's come up with four designs of which ones the fans want first.
Well, what's the deal? Do we each have a shirt or is it...
No.
So like Orlando would be a shirt.
Collectively of what we think should be... And we have to... We'll put it out there and we'll see what the fans vote on.
Thank you.
Yeah, like do we have a license to put Orlando on?
I mean, you could because it's just right? because – but you're doing it because of Mormon, the show. So it's like you're really
– teetering.
Here's the one that I think should go first.
Okay.
I think it should be the first one off the bat. I think it should be a big hashtag. That's the show.
Yeah. Yes.
I think with a Collider Live little thing. I think
that's the first
one I would put in the poll design.
Yeah.
I think Can I Come? Collider Live
definitely.
Could be one. That's two.
Yeah.
What do you think? Three or four? There's only four options.
We retired 8 and 9, right?
I mean, we
just haven't used in a while.
Yeah, we didn't retire.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not retired.
To me, that has been the most consistent of all of the things.
Yeah.
But I don't know on a shirt if that reads as well.
People ask about it.
Yeah.
That would be actually good. 8, 8, .. 9. 9?
Yeah.
%8? 9.
Yeah. All
right. Okay. I like that. Okay. So then we got one more.
9th?
Yeah.
A lot of people seem to enjoy that Sleep in the Hallway. Not Right
Sleep
Now, Derek.
Not Right Now, Derek.
Derek's a different show. Same thing with Ben. But Sleep in the Hallway is a good one.
Sleep in the Hallway is a good
one. It's not a big effing deal.
This is not a big effing deal.
Let's just sleep in the hallway! Exclamation point. All right, so those are the four. Sleep in the Hallway. Hashtag that's the show. Can I Come? And then
eight.
And an 8, 8, 9, 8... ... question mark. I like
9?
That. Yeah. All right. Because that one, what I like about that
one. What about cookies?
You want a cookie?
You want? Oh,
I said yes.
You want a cookie? I said yes. Yeah. That's a good one, too.
That's a good one.
Because I can't have – all right. So
it's a lot on a shirt. That's the only problem.
Because you want the milk.
We
do one. Do you want a cookie? Comma, I said yes.
And then on the back, do you want the
too
milk?
Much, too okay. much
I don't design. Know.
Okay. I think –
Do you want a cookie? Good. I think – do you want a cookie?
Do you want a cookie?
I said yes.
But I
also,
said yes.
Also, like some creepy guy in a van's wearing that shirt.
Yeah, but what – or what about – but
that's the show.
You can do another one that says – do you want some milk? I said yes. You gotta get the match.
You
match
gotta
accept.
Get both.
Oh,
shirts,
that's the his and hers.
Yeah, his and hers. That's a holiday gift for all the fans. All right,
so let's put that on hold for now.
Okay.
We'll keep the four that
that's
we
our
have.
Christmas time.
Right, so Alex, you got that?
Hold on. That's the show. Can I Come? Sleep in the Hallway and 8, 9.
8. No, you gotta do it. 8, 8, 9, 8.
Oh my God! Hold on. 8, 8, 9, 8.
%8 ?
?
Yes. 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 All right. So put that on the Twitter poll, then have Collider retweet it, and then you guys are going to vote on what shirt we do first.
I don't know which one I want to win. I'm into all of them.
I would get them all.
Yeah, I'll get them all.
I think like I mean, the work that Brian Ward could do with each one, like Roxy's face with just like a silhouette of like, can I come? Yeah. You know, like a body sleeping in a hallway.
That's good.
But in the interest of the 200th show, I know we just talked about it for the shirts, but what is your guys' official number one favorite soundbite that we've ever done on the show?
Yeah.
Yosh.
That's not bad.
That's a good one.
I say that one all the time.
I texted my
Compoyo is another one too.
Yeah.
I texted
my German exchange brother from back in high school, and I was like, "Yo, I do this live show every day, and they do this yosh yosh yosh." And he texted me back immediately, "Christina," because that was the girl's name. He'd be like, "Yosh yosh yosh."
Yeah, I forgot how we got it. Yeah. That's where it came from.
Yosh yosh.
That could have a little Yoshi on it. Yeah. Even look like you with your face.
We got some good. All right, so we got like I said, we'll have a lot of ideas to be able to do this. So we're going to start doing that. I don't know when they want to launch, but I just figured throw it out in the atmosphere now.
I'm feeling nostalgic. Who is your guys' favorite guest that we've ever had on the show? Yeah, it's 200.
I mean, I know that you were just kind of didn't know how to take it afterwards, but Van Damme to me was just so many great sound bites and just in awe of what was coming out of that man's mouth.
I think we all were.
But you guys were like, you guys were hoping for something else.
I don't think so. I just think
Ellis and McCool were 100%.
Yeah. I feel like none of us could have been in the room and the same conversation would have been had.
Easily.
Yeah. So I wasn't hoping for anything else. He was truly wild.
Yeah.
I think it went as well as it could have because it was. One of a kind.
Like I loved the dudes from Cobra Kai. I loved we got Ralph Macchio, all that kind of stuff. But my hands down number one is Joe Carnahan, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, I've said his name like a billion times in the Schmodown, and then he sends me a clip from his version of Bad Boys for Life, and I'm like, duh.
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
This is life coming.
You got one?
You know, it keeps jumping in my head is Jay Bruchel.
Because I
loved that conversation we had, and How to Train Your Dragon is one of my favorite series.
And he just seemed like the best guy.
Yeah.
He was really cool. I mean, obviously, mine's Dane.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Yeah, right. That's some good.
Me
good
ping-ponging back and forth between you guys just looking at us.
Matthew Lillard was great.
Matthew Lillard
was one of the best guests we've ever had on any show.
So, yes.
When he was climbing over the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, when he said to him, when I said... Summer Catches one of my favorite movies, goes, are you okay?
Yeah. I'm still mad that I missed Paige.
Paige was awesome.
I'm mad that I missed that one.
We've had some really good guests.
Although she does seem like Darina's spirit animal.
Yes. Sure. Well, Mance legitimately thought that she was Paige. So did you know that story?
No, get out of here.
It's the best story ever. So Mance was in doing the award show, right?
And for your consideration.
For your consideration. So right across the way over here, I was with Darina. And then over here was Paige and her brother.
Mm-hmm.
So Mance walks... And he's in eye line of Paige. Mm-hmm. And he looks at Doreen and he goes, I'm having you on the show next week. And she's like, what? Yeah, your movie's coming. I can't wait. And she's like, who do you think I am? Paige. Like, I'm Dorina. We've had many conversations together. And he's like, oh, my God, you look like Paige. He's like, Paige is right.
That sounds about right.
Paige is right there.
They also kind of look nothing alike, which is the best part.
It's black hair.
They both have that goth bang.
And they're pale.
Yeah, pretty pale black hair.
Scott Mance, what a legend. Yeah. Just the best.
And if anybody can get away with it, it's Mance.
Doreen is also Latino.
Right.
Paige is British.
I think things just look different in Scott Mance's world. Totally. You know, like bright and colors. Like aura is coming out and they're vibrating.
It's Mance the only person, glasses. Though, that like I can have zero madness about that. He's just the best. Like, the best. His energy is out of this world.
Who's doing the board today? Is that Adam or
it's Adam?
Alex?
And
it's me.
And it's Alex.
Alex, do you have a favorite guest?
Alex doing good.
Griffin Newman.
Yeah.
Griffin from The Tick.
Yeah, yeah. No, I
only because I want the obsessed. Answer. Because
you
I
want
know.
Adams?
Adam, who's your favorite guest on Collider Live ever?
Devin Sawa.
Oh, look at you.
Somebody's been studying
look
up.
Look at you. What an answer.
Well done, Adam. Right. Smith,
everybody. Deep cut. Yes, yeah, too. Adam, I like it.
Adam, here's what I want. Like this is something I want to – because Adam Smith is one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
You really are. So, Adam, here's what I'm gonna ask because I know you're under the weather today, so I'm going to leave you alone. But because you're going to be on the desk here for at least 2-3 weeks before Cody's out, we're going to get you involved. I know you don't like being behind that camera and being on the mic, but we're going to
tough
gonna,
shit.
Gonna, Yeah, tough shit. We'll get you involved. I think more people need to know about the Smith.
Adam Smith is one of the most undercover funniest dudes I've ever met in
yes.
my life.
Yes.
Okay? Number one. Right, number two.
This. I'm going to mute the mic.
mute the mic.
Number two.
He's like, we need to stop this.
Number two. I've never like drank with somebody that I enjoy drinking with more because mm-hmm. There are not a lot of people that like to drink as much as Adam Smith and myself do. So get us in a room. That time in New York when you and I just blacked out.
Wow, can I come? Yes. I feel like I'd hang well with that group of drinkers.
And two, his hair has quickly become the greatest 90s lead singer of a band we've ever seen, and it's just undercover.
Adam, your comments to this?
Yeah. What's that now?
Do you have any comments to this? Do you agree with the assessment of your character here, or would you tell us to go fuck ourselves?
You guys are the sweetest for saying it all. I obviously don't agree. I have a lot of self-esteem issues, but you know, it's appreciated all the same.
All right, we look forward to making you a character on this show.
Yes. I feel like by the end of this 2/3-week period, he's going to be the one with the shirt.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, whatever.
God bless you guys.
He already started. I have major self-esteem issues.
And also, same. Who the hell does that? We feel totally. You, Adam.
Yeah.
That I got most from Glow Season 3 wasn't the brilliance of the writing, wasn't Marc Maron just continually crushing it. It was the fact that I get the same thing I got from the time I saw Rock of Ages live. It was like, everybody just gives up on a Hollywood dream. Like, it hurts my soul every time I, like, see that happen.
Yeah. What just made you say that? Based off what Adam just said with the self-esteem?
Yeah, with self-esteem.
Oh. Yeah. Right. Well, we got out of that hole before. I'm trying to get back out of it. we're moving on to movie news now. There's
200th episode. 200
episodes. 200 episodes of movie news and trying to get to it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And me trying to stop you. Every 200 single, full episodes of it.
We did it.
I love being drunk on a mountain in a hot tub.
Uh-huh.
There you go. That is true.
Yeah. You hear me in the background.
All right. Christian, I'm in support. We can move forward.
Thank you so
much. I'm just looking at you guys all, though. It's so
you're
crazy.
So happy.
200.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we're ready.
I missed you, man.
You ready?
Do it.
I guess I'm ready. I wanted that.
You know why? You know why that I handle it like this?
Yeah.
Because I understand where you're coming from. You've been on, like, mm-hmm. I just, from doing the schmoes and everything, too. It's just like, you know, we got there, but it's like, to me, now we've been doing Cloud Live, and it's like 5 days a week. Everyone's like, what are you doing for the big 200? And I'm like, just doing what we do every show.
The bigger thing is tomorrow being a year. A year is a chunk of change.
Yeah. Chunk of change.
Is that
a phrase?
I will say this. The reason I get where you're coming from is, so my friend has worked on Dr. Phil forever, mm-hmm. right? And I went to, I think, like the 1,000th Dr. Phil episode. And I was like, do you guys like celebrate every 100? She's like, no, every 1,000. And I was like, oh, okay. So basically 500. And then they got to 1,000. They're like, we'll only celebrate next when we get to 2,000.
Now, we got to 1,000 shows, then we probably do something big.
Correct.
Yeah. Don't you think 500?
500 could be,
I don't know,
500 is a year and a half from now.
It was different when it was Schmoes.
Your math is egregious right now. What? Why would 1,000 be 5 years?
No, I said 1,000 because we just hit 200 after a year.
But we went to five days a week.
So it'd be 5 years.
We went to 5 days a week. We were at 3.
That's true.
So it'd be 4. Let's say 4 years.
4.
But either
my math was not as far off as you claim.
Good point.
Either way.
Fair.
The Schmo Show, when we did 100, it was because we did it once a week.
Yes.
Right? So now when you're doing it every single day, you know what? No, it's the 1,000 is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do it in about 4 years.
Sounds good.
Better?
Yes.
3 years.
The thought of still sitting here in 4 years does make me feel better. How did you know?
Good. And with that stinky microphone, I'm never going to change it.
Enjoy it's this hot-ass studio, but my jacket's part of my outfit.
It's not bad today.
Mm. It is.
I'm in a full blown jacket. That's on me.
That's not my fault.
It
sounds like a you problem.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of problems. I'm with Adam.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll get to the news. What do you think?
I don't know. We could keep talking about the 200th episode, the 1,000th episode. Yeah. You want to go to the 5,000th?
You said episode.
Episode.
He's having trouble with that episode.
Daisy.
This is what. This is that one time. It's like that one time that everybody knew you're going to get this right off the bat here. You remember that time? Remember the guy that was selling the hot dogs next to the stand? What was the guy's name who bought the hot dog?
Oh, yeah.
Bill. You remember Bill? Everybody knows. Franzi, you know this one.
John Cena.
What is this? What do we got?
Breaking news.
Are you serious?
Yeah, tell me.
Okay. No, it's not breaking news. Oh. We're ready for the news. Sorry, I thought you were going somewhere else.
Story.
Chad Stahelski is being brought in to reshoot some big action scenes in Birds of Prey.
Okay.
That is the news that dropped over the weekend.
Okay.
What do you think of that? A lot of people are saying that, oh, my God, now Birds of Prey is in trouble.
No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that they either tested it and they said, okay, look, there's a lot of good character stuff, and we need a couple scenes to pop.
Yeah.
And that's why they do reshoots. There's always – this is. I mean, you can say it until you're blue in the face, and everyone's always going to say there's problems with you know, when you hear reshoots. Huh. It's part of the thing. They schedule out reshoots because of things like this. If they look, they test, and they go, it's working. We have all this stuff that's going on here. We like that. But what if we can just – what if we did like a bigger scene, like a big action scene here to connect with that? It happens all the time. Now, there is there a chance that it's the opposite of like, shit, it's dull and we need some stuff to move? Yeah, that's possible too. But I happen to think it's the former.
Who are we talking with? And they may have been a guest on the show, and I know it was here, and it wasn't Joe Carnahan. And you were there when we were talking about it. He was talking about that scene in Bad Boys 2 when they're – at the end when they're
Frank
driving – it was Frank Grillo. Yeah, and he said – he's like – it was literally a paragraph on a page.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, I guarantee you there was a lot – like, you know, a lot of directors aren't great with action scenes, or they see an action scene. And then you get a guy that has done a bunch of action scenes like John Wick friggin' 3. And he's like, listen, we have these badass women. We need to show them being more badass. And we need to bring in a guy that can bring that out of them, because this is like – this is a big deal for us. This is Roxy's favorite DC property. It's the best one she's ever seen. And so we need to make sure that the Birds of Prey is Roxy's, in fact, favorite movie.
But does this scare you, the reshoots?
No. I think that reshoots are not a story. It's not even a story. Like, imagine if every time something – if every time you were editing something, they're editing it.
Right.
It's not a story. It's literally part of the process. The only time that it's a story is like when we were doing that Getty movie, whatever, and we had to
All
the Money in the World, and we had to literally go back and recast somebody and reshoot the whole thing.
The movie,
That's a story.
Right.
We're going back for reshoots is not a story.
Right. It's built into every single big blockbuster that they're going to have some reshoots every single time. Rogue One was an exception too, because they brought in a director to reshoot a bunch of it.
It happens.
That's when it's a story. This is not a story.
Endgame is the most profitable movie of all time. And
had reshoots.
It had reshoots.
Yeah.
What's with the birds? I like it, but what's
I'm curious about
Birds of Prey.
Oh.
That's right, Josh.
I think that was a little off the mark.
No, but what if they're like
it's a canary bird?
Because who are the other birds? Or is that just because we like to call women
Huntress?
Birds?
Oh, no. Oh, the other ones that are bird characters.
Hawk Girl?
Poison Ivy.
No, that is a bird not in this, though.
She other
bird Black Canary.
People, I already said that one.
Did you?
But good call.
Yeah.
I mean,
a
penguin would be a bird.
But penguins don't fly.
Catwoman
also
eats
not
all
in
of them.
This. Yeah, Catwoman eats the birds.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, so there's reshoots. Next.
Nailed that news story. Here we have Loki. Loki news coming at you. Tom Hiddleston was talking to MTV News and confirmed it's going to be 6 hours, so six episodes in the Loki series. And they did confirm at Comic-Con that it's going to start with Loki taking the Tesseract in Endgame.
It made sense.
And we're going to see what happens.
Exactly what I was hoping for. Exactly what I thought it would be. It's perfect.
It was a great setup for it.
Yeah.
It was a great setup. Everybody was saying – because now you're seeing this alternate reality, what happens to him. And, you know, because now people are like, well, he lived. How did he live? Well, he lived in an alternate timeline. So
yeah,
that's great.
He kept talking, and this is what I love for his character, is that he has to now go back, because the Loki that we knew in Ragnarok and in Infinity War is different from this Loki, because he's still at the height of his villainy.
Right.
So he takes the Tesseract from in the Avengers.
Right.
So now he's
he's
excited for the character arc. He's like, I'm now going back to a different mindset. And I'm paraphrasing here what he told MTV
News.
Right,
he didn't get caught.
Do you think by the end of
MTV News, he told?
Yeah, MTV News.
Does that still exist?
Well, dude, this guy, Josh Horowitz?
Yes, it
is.
That guy
gets great.
He gets all the scoops.
Do you guys think by the end of the sixth episode, he will be anti-hero, villain, or hero?
Anti.
I don't know.
I think it's in him.
What is he now?
Well, he's an anti-hero by the time he goes out. Okay. By the time that Thanos kills him,
he's like my give a shit meter on Loki is
really.
My God, really?
I never
Loki's
liked
one
Loki.
Of my favorite characters.
Loki is.
Oh
so
yeah,
annoying.
We did a whole thing, and you didn't even pick him in your top like 15.
Oh, I love Loki.
I love him.
I'm
too.
Excited to see that.
I like Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. Well, so here's something. I don't think they'll do it because A, they've done it before, and B, I don't know if they'll have enough time. But at D23. That one of the most historic things ever was when Tom Hiddleston came dressed out as Loki in Hall H, when they actually, novel idea, made Hall H a show. and it felt like a show.
This was at Comic-Con, not at D23.
This was Comic-Con. Okay. So, but D23 has been known to do performances and stuff, too. I remember when The Rock came out and they debuted – when Idina Menzel – first time anyone ever heard "Let It Go" was at D23. I was there. It was awesome. Shit. Yeah, it was. And I remember.
Did you know in that moment?
I said everyone's going to be singing this song.
Really?
Yeah, because I couldn't stop singing it after hearing it for the first time. And I remember going back and telling my wife, I'm like, I just heard a song, a Disney song. I can guarantee you, it's going to be everywhere. And it was. But it was, anybody could have predicted that. That wasn't like I'm so happy to make this prediction. It just was catchy.
You know, a song crosses boundaries when like drunk girls do it karaoke at Barney's.
Yeah.
And drunk dudes as well. Yes. Yeah,
that's true.
So he came out.
So he came out and he was all in garb in the Loki outfit as in character. And it was great. I wonder if they would do that again.
That'd be amazing.
It would be really cool if they did.
This is going to be their flagship start, right? Isn't it?
No, Mandalorian's first.
No. I'm just saying for the Marvel. You're talking about Marvel. MCU. Yes. This is their first
this
one.
This is before WandaVision?
I think so.
I think it is. Yeah, they've already released some images. And yeah. I bet we might get something because they're shooting it.
I bet you they shot a bunch of stuff while they had them for Endgame. Yeah. You know, they should probably shot – probably maybe the Russo shot
something.
What is
he working on other than this right now? Is his schedule
– He's still working on this.
Oh, nicely done.
Tell me that was Adam.
No, it's Alex right now. Alex knows the bits.
Yeah.
But Alex is on it right
now. Yeah. You know how you like when I derail the show?
Yeah.
Good quick question. What is Bo Knows Schmoes?
So my
let me take this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bo Jackson in the late 80s and part of the early 90s, depending on when you look at his hip. When you look at this hip injury at a playoff game against the Cincinnati Bengals, was the hands-down greatest athlete to play baseball and football at the exact same time.
Yeah.
He is the only man in history to go to an All-Star game and a Pro Bowl and not be in the Hall of Fame. He only played 4 years because of a major injury to his body. He was a freak athlete. There's a 30-for-30 about him. He's my favorite athlete of all time. And Nike made this campaign because he started the cross-trainer shoe. Nike came out with the cross-trainer shoe based on Bo Jackson. And he had this campaign was Bo Knows Everything because he was playing baseball and football and so good. It was like Bo Knows Surfing, Bo Knows Hockey, Bo's. And then it came as like Bo Knows Guitar and he couldn't play. And then Bo Diddley came out and he's like, Bo, you don't know Diddley. But then everything was Bo Knows. So everybody had a shirt that just said Bo Knows. And then there was like ones on the Venice Boardwalk and the Ocean City Boardwalk that said Bo Knows Your Sister. Yeah. Like it was a whole thing.
Let me ask you, was he not eligible for the Hall of Fame?
He only played 4 years.
So how many do you have to be?
Well, you don't have to be eligible. You just have to have like –
Yeah, because the conversation like starts to come in like, career. Yeah, he was great for 4 years, but what would he have, done?
Like, well, because like rock and roll, you have to have a certain amount to be eligible. Sure. Is it not that way?
No, not in sports.
No, not really.
You're not going to get a 4-year athlete going to either Hall of Fame.
Because if somebody hit.
And his stats don't.
If somebody didn't use steroids and hit 100 home runs in one season, you had to put that person in the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
But anyway, this comes from my friend DJ Goldberg bought it for me years ago, and in my move, I found it.
Nice.
And I said, I'm aware.
Those are my high school colors, too.
The Christmas ones underneath, or the black?
Black, white, and red was my high school colors.
Oh, it's green under there.
I know. That's every hat, though.
Okay, listen. So we know that Marvel's going to put out this show.
In the day, it was always green.
Don't worry about the fucking hat anymore. Marvel Marvel is going to have that show. We have Star Wars is going to have Mandalorian.
And Cassian Andor.
Yeah, so we're gonna,
most likely Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. So Disney Plus is going to have a big day on Friday. I'm very excited to find out what the fuck is going on Friday. Depending on what time that panel gets out, because I don't know if it starts at 9 or 10.
Yeah.
If it starts at 9, I'm going to try to call into the show. But if not, we'll just talk about it on Monday.
Okay. Sounds good.
Because this the news.
I thought we were not doing a show Friday because we were doing a pre-tape. Oh, no, that's for next week.
Next week. Okay. Next week, there's two pre-tapes. This week.
Wow, you've got a busy couple weekends.
I know. It's going to be crazy.
Christian.
Are you going both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday or just Friday and Saturday?
Friday and Saturday. Okay. So, I mean, I guess Sunday they do have something too. I'm just going for the two panels.
Mm-hmm. Are you staying in Anaheim?
No. I'm going to drive in. What I used to do for D23 is stay overnight, do the whole thing. But I've got too much shit with the move and everything. I'm just driving in Friday morning, going to the panel, going home. Same thing Saturday.
I want to come.
So why didn't you? You should have.
Ellis has a pass. I believe. Is Ellis going with you?
He's. I don't know if he's a pass to the panel, though.
Oh. Okay.
He does have a pass to the panel. I don't know if I've, but anyway. Okay, so those are two big stories. Anything else going on?
Andy Serkis hired the Oscar-winning cinematographer Robert Richardson, who did Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He's going to shoot Venom 2, which is, I think, a pretty good get.
He's shooting it, but Andy Serkis is directing it.
Andy Serkis is directing it, but he's pulling in Robert Richardson, who shot Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with Quentin Tarantino. He also won a trio of Oscars for JFK, The Aviator, Hugo, and he worked with Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained, The Hateful Eight.
What he's going to
shoot Venom.
What
massive,
Venom 2.
Massive gap, but bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
Well, it's probably his relationship that he's got with Andy. I mean, who? I'm telling you, I've met Andy Serkis many times, had the chance to hang out with him socially a couple times.
He's the best.
I don't know if there's a nicer human being in the world.
How do we get
Serkis.
Him in here?
We've had him on Schmoes as far as calling in. He lives in London, you know. Mm-hmm. But I can reach out.
Close.
I'm buddies with his manager, so I can reach out and try to get him again. I would love to get him on the show.
A call.
I want to get him in studio. But
he lives in London.
He does. We had a chance when I was at. We went to the Last Jedi premiere, and my friend, his manager, was there, and he's like, "You want to go talk to Andy?" I was like, "No," you know. So we went over. We're talking to Andy for a while. I introduced him to like Perry and everything, and his wife was there. We were just talking to his wife forever. I mean, the answer of how and why it's not as bizarre when you know him, because he's got so many relationships and. Everyone likes him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine there's anyone who's ever said, like, oh, Andy Serkis is a dick. I don't like working with that guy. It just – I can't imagine it happening.
And he's jumping on – like, you know, we talked about Mowgli. I've never seen it. But, you know, this is an early on in his directorial resume.
It's a big job.
I mean, and cinematographer. If you guys think that, like, cinematographer is just a person that works a camera, you are completely wrong, especially in a motion capture situation.
I feel like in 2019 nobody thinks that anymore. I feel like that was
you would be
that,
sorely mistaken.
Really?
Say it again.
That they just think a cinematographer runs a camera. They just like press button and
well,
hold
I think,
the camera.
I think maybe a lot of the general
I always
audience.
Try and come from like the casual movie
the
fan.
Casual movie fan.
Like, they have no idea.
I don't know.
My dad has no idea. He asked me, what does a cinematographer do, like 6 years ago? And I was like, that's the camera operator. He's like, oh, okay, I get it.
I think.
That's the casual movie fan.
I think it's getting out there. You know, Roger Deakins finally winning for Blade Runner 2049. There was that big kind of campaign. It's like, he deserves it.
Same conversation, though, that we had the other day.
Yeah, you guys are right.
You know.
Sure.
And the community and these people watching know, but the casual fan doesn't know who Roger Deakins is.
No.
It's very challenging to know what you know that you've known for so long that other people don't know.
Start at the bottom. Yeah. Always consider lowest common denominator.
It's either your business or your fandom.
But when you've been at something for so long and then you're casually talking, like, do you guys ever call your friends from home and just feel like the biggest dickhead douchebag because the way you speak, they don't even understand sometimes.
Sometimes.
That doesn't happen to you guys?
No.
I don't know. I mean, like, because I don't really talk about the industry with my friends. We just kind of talk about how their life is going and yada, yada, yada.
If they ask you about your life.
Yeah, I mean, I can, like, bring up some stuff, but I, like, you know, I'm very explanatory about it. I mean, everything kind of seems like an origin story half the time when I'm just explaining what I do to my friends or people or whoever in general that isn't in our industry. They are so far removed from the industry. I can't tell you how many of my friends from college or high school go, like, what do you do? Right? Because we work on a YouTube channel. I host a show on TV, like, whatever the case may be. They still don't know, like, you know,
what do you do?
Right. What we do is stay around for another 10 minutes talking stories here. And I was going to see, because we got Ben Bateman coming in at 11.
Ben Bateman coming in at 11.
Well, because we shouldn't have put this He-Man story there.
Why? He's here for an hour.
Oh, he's here for a full hour?
Yeah.
Okay, we could do it at 11:30, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then anything else going on before we get to He-Man?
Let's we got to celebrate and talk about this. Peter Fonda. Passed away on Friday in the afternoon. The legend that is.
Yeah. Interesting
Peter
way of phrasing
Fonda.
That.
No, no. Set, what do you mean?
We got to celebrate.
Celebrate his life. Absolutely.
Sure. 100%.
Okay.
Every time I hear about these deaths, you know, it's like this is the guy that, you know, Easy Rider is one of the greatest movies of counterculture. Put it out there. Started a whole movement with all of those filmmakers. Dennis Hopper, Jack Nicholson, all these things. So 79, he was at age 79, and it was respiratory failure due to lung cancer. I didn't know he had lung cancer.
Yeah.
So that's a bummer, but, you know, a lot of people were celebrating that the day he passed.
Did you ever see the movie Limey?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. No. The Limey?
Yeah, The Limey with Peter Fonda. He's fantastic.
What is it?
You want to explain how that movie? It's like a.
What's
the Limey? Is that I have in my, for some reason on my like my iTunes thing? There's like something. Terrence Stamp, right?
Yeah, Terrence Stamp.
Like something just plays. Like
Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah, Soderbergh directed it. It's like a heisty kind of a crime movie.
99. I've never even heard of this movie.
A tough English ex-con who travels to Los Angeles to avenge his daughter's death. Upon arrival, Wilson goes to task battling Valentine, great name, Peter Fonda, and an army of LA's toughest criminals. hoping to find clues and piece together what happened.
Yeah. Whenever a legend like this does pass away, though, I do think it is interesting because I find out about some of their movies that I had never seen, heard of. Then you go back, watch.
Totally forgot about the Limey.
The Limey's a fantastic.
Which is always a nice way to celebrate somebody's life.
Did Bridget Fonda make a statement or anything?
I don't know. Probably. Bridget Fonda, Jane Fonda. Yeah, I'm sure. Jane Fonda is the sister. So. Yes. I'm sure,
and once again, yeah, we nothing but respect and admiration for Peter Fonda. One of the things that we—I don't know if you guys addressed it on the show—but we goofed, and boy, did the audience ever let us hear about it with the Bruce Lee. When we were talking about the Bruce Lee, that it was his daughter.
And, it was his daughter that
not his sister.
Not his sister.
Yeah, and I saw that.
We had said sister, and man, woof! Yeah, did we get it for that one?
It's the daughter you
I'm
eat.
Sorry.
And sometimes we mess up, man.
It happens.
Sometimes you mess
up. I tell these people sometimes. It's do a show 5 days a week.
Yeah,
live.
Right? Live. You just slip up.
I mean, aren't you guys supposed to be professional?
Christian, a show 5 days a week live? I mean, we all are working on 4,000 shows.
Totally.
I know. Yes. But what I'm saying is that when you're doing it live, like, you know.
But it's
as,
not like we said that they said something different. I'm sorry. They are right. We should get who it is correct.
Yes. But what I'm saying is also, once again, you can say, guys, hey, it's his fucking daughter.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
like fucking
we're
around.
Pretty close.
But no. What I'm saying, they can say that. But they can say that. But it's like when you start going,
you
fucking
morons.
Idiots. Yeah. What do you know about you fucking idiots? It's like I want to take that awkward guy.
Yeah.
Who is like and put him in the camera.
Go ahead.
5 days a week. And
go
just
ahead.
Like, well, his father. No, his sister. I mean, it was his uncle. No, I don't know who it was. Oh.
And we also don't have somebody in our ear going, hey, it's his sister. Like on live television, usually you have an earpiece and you mess up and somebody's like, hey, it's that. You make sure you
Evangeline Lilly, it's so nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We did it. Yeah, we went. We did the whole thing. So
you finally got to meet Kelly Carter.
I did meet Kelly Carter.
Yeah, she's great.
That's not who did that, though.
No, I know, but I'm saying the flip side of that.
Right.
And Jane did break her silence, by the way.
Did she?
She said, I'm very sad. He was my sweethearted baby brother, the talker of the family. I've had a beautiful alone time with him these last days. He went out laughing. I think that's beautiful
awesome.
She said that.
Yeah. That's good. Okay, look, so we'll go to break on that. When we get back, we will be talking with Ben Bateman. He's got some big stuff going on in New York, and he's doing some stuff for the Schmodown. He's got some other things going on. He'll be able to break down some of this news, especially this He-Man thing with Kevin Smith and Mark Bernard and our buddies.
Whoa.
So excited about that. All right, when we get back.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. New episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well. Once again, it's every Saturday and Sunday on the Collider video feed, and also you can listen to us on podcast, on the Movie Talk podcast feed, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hey guys, it's Dennis here, one of the hosts of Thrones Talk, our weekly Game of Thrones review show that happens live right after the episodes drop on Sunday night. So check us out. We talk about all the cool things that happen on Game of Thrones that night and what we think is going to happen in the future. You can find it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Collider Videos, or you can find it on the podcast feed, both on the Collider TV Talk podcast feed and the Collider Factory podcast feed.
Hi, I'm Koi Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
Hey guys, Perry Nemiroff here to let you know that The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. We also have clips on the Collider Podcast YouTube channel. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
And then we'll watch it.
I like it.
Hey guys, Perry here to let you know about the new edition of Collider Movie Talk. We are going to 5 days a week. We have a short, sweet, 20-minute show where we focus on the two biggest stories of the day. You can expect to see all of your favorite Collider personalities on the show, including Jeff Snyder, John Rocha, Haley Fouch. You're getting Josh McCuga every Friday. We're going to have a blast. It's going to be informative, fun. Come join us, 3 p.m. PT live every single day of the week, right here on the Collider Video YouTube channel. You can also find the show on the Collider Movie Talk feed on our podcast network, so go watch, go listen, however you prefer to get all of your movie news.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show at a new time and format. We're coming at you Tuesday nights with a new shorter Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Coy and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nose and Josh McCuga. We've had Taylor Bisciotti on. We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel. And if you want to take us along with you in your ears, you can go and subscribe to the Collider Sports podcast feed for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hello, how are you guys doing? I'm Christian Harloff. I'm the host of Collider Jedi Council. We talk about everything Star Wars, and if you want to catch our weekly show where we talk about the latest and greatest in Star Wars, it's movie news, it's canon, it's all of it. We take questions from you guys. How do you do it? Main channel, that's right here. Subscribe to this channel, and you can listen, you can watch, you can do all of it, but if you want to just listen to it, you got the podcast feed too. Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it is, you can listen to it in your car. Do all of it. It's Star Wars. Episode 9's coming out, and then after Episode 9, you got TV shows, so we're going to be your sports center for Star Wars. Do it. Come on. Be real.
I get it.
Are we live?
Are we live?
No, we're not.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, we are live. Okay, that's good.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys.
Cody's on.
That's awesome.
No music? Oh, there we go. There's the music.
It's got the music.
That's not...
Okay.
All right. Oh, welcome back. Okay, thanks, Alex. Thanks for helping. I'm not going to blame Adam for this one.
No, 100% not Adam.
It's all Alex. That's all, Alex. Come on, Alex. You just threw the guy. You tried to throw him on a train tracks, and the train hit you, motherfucker. All right. Welcome back to the show. And joining us in studio today, this is a guy that I've actually I met him through, I guess it was, I don't know how the hell I did meet him.
Are you kidding?
I mean, I know that you went
I mean, I know that you introduced me. I know you introduced
me. So that's how you met him.
But no, but I think that I met him. But I don't know if we maybe ran into each other.
We were at a party together. And it was Roxy. No,
that's right. It was Ken's birthday, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Ken's birthday. Okay, yes, it was. And he shows up with this girl.
At least I get the credit.
Shows up with this broad. No, and it was Roxy. And then
you asked him your Star Wars question. That's how you
that
guys.
That wasn't at that day.
That was a taping. Yeah, but that was like the third time maybe.
You had told me that this guy really likes the Schmodown. He wants to come by. He did, and I was like, you know, okay, look, I'll give you and your buddy a shot here on the action because I'd seen their show a couple of times. And lo and behold, it came. Some of the biggest stars that we've seen in the Schmo now, like really big stars, and the fans love that they've gone on to do their own their brand of the action guys in general has kind of taken off, and they're doing a show Thursday night in New York City, the same weekend that we're going to be there. Obviously, kind of do
coincidence, I think.
Conjunction.
Not.
You have the action guys will be doing a show on Thursday night in Manhattan at the New York Comedy Club. Is that accurate?
Yeah, in the East Village. Yeah, 10:15. We're really excited about it.
That's going to be a lot of fun. So the people want to go and see that show. First of all, what is the show going to be, and then how do they get tickets?
Yeah, so it's newyorkcomedyclub.com, and we have been doing the show Action Movie Anatomy for years. So we're going to be doing like a kind of a mini episode. You know, those episodes are like a full review of a movie, like every fist bump moments, best lines, stupid impressions. We'll be doing MacGruber because we love that one. We've wanted to cover it for years. And then we're going to do kind of a mini episode of The Action Guys, which is a show we do here on Collider. And that show is always different, but we're going to do a bunch of bits because we do all these impressions of like Nick Cage and Tom Cruise.
It's going to be a full-on show.
Yeah, and then I actually might play a live song at the end of it. I've been playing some music again. So
that's the thing that shocked me. Okay, because this is the I will tell you this, because I remember Roxy saying to me, oh, yeah, he played music too. And everybody, who doesn't play music or do some kind of jokes or something in Los Angeles,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And I don't know where the hell it was, but you posted something, or a fan posted something, like, I don't know, it was probably like a month or 2 months ago. I don't know if I was in Comic-Con or where I was. No, it was before that. And someone posted you singing like Bon Jovi or something.
This is an old thing when I was like 22.
Whatever. And I was like, holy fucking
shit.
Yeah,
he's full blown. Yeah.
Actually, like, you're like, not like. Good. You're fucking really good.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. And everything. I texted you and I was like, you know, not to be like condescending, but it was like, yeah, because you hear your friends, everybody plays music or does something. But like, you're like, what? When did you stop playing music and why did you stop?
I moved here originally in 2009 to do it. That was that was the thing, right? I did like a little mini tour. I played in L.A. a ton, and I had like this album out with my old buddy David Michael Frank, who actually does stuff for the
social
Schmoda,
media, run
social
down.
Media
yeah,
manager. Yeah. After the he and I were songwriters together, and
he's still doing music.
Yeah, he's on tour right now.
Yeah,
so I did that from like probably like 19, 20 through like 23, 24, and then I took like a year or two off, and I wrote another record back in like 24, around like 24, 25. And then around the time I was 26, I kind of got into hosting, and I don't know. It's like that like left brain, right brain thing. Like my brain just stopped sort of wanting to do that.
And focused in on this.
Yeah, I guess so. And so I took 4 or 5 years off, and then like I picked a guitar up again about a month and a half ago and just started like dicking around to see if I could still do anything. And so I've been posting like little covers online and stuff.
Yeah. Would you cool if we played a little bit?
If you want to.
Where should we go to?
I mean, if you want to make embarrass me, you can play like this when I was really young.
Yeah, well, do the Bon Jovi one.
Skinnier.
Where do I find it? Just go to. Can you go
to on your Twitter?
You know, Ben Bateman, Bon Jovi.
Have you look up like "Living on a Prayer" Bon Jovi cover?
There it is. It's the first one.
Ben has like had so many different lives and careers out here because he did the whole actor, singer, model, like all
pause
of the
pause
stuff.
Pause it for a second.
Alex, so there's all the things that like people I don't think realize he's an artist.
Yeah,
That's all of the different areas.
I was shocked by it, and that's why I want the audience to hear. But, Alex, have you ever heard Ben sing?
Yeah, I've seen some of his videos.
Okay, cool. So, Ryan,
collaborating.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have.
You've seen it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead and play a little for the audience.
2012.
Yeah.
Young man.
Yeah. Don't look much different, though. I'll tell you.
This is where you like you play a bit, and you like click this little pedal with your foot, and then it loops it and plays back. So you keep adding shit over it. I was trying to do it live.
Trying to show off the shoes.
Yeah. They're good. They're suede. I don't know. It's kind of corny we have a foot tap.
I like this. Stop talking over yourself.
All right.
Union's been on strike. He's down on his luck. It's tough.
Let me hear how he hits the big chord. And they can, all right, so that's, hey, pause there. So can you go, can they find this so they can subscribe? This is your own channel. This isn't associated with the Action Channel.
Yeah, and this is, I don't even really use this channel. This is like my private YouTube.
But they can, but they can find it, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the Action Channel?
That's Action Industries. Yeah, that's what we do. We do a bunch of stuff on there. And I've been doing, we do like live streams 3 times a week. I'll usually do like a song during a live stream.
Oh, really?
I did the first time I tried it like live last night, Faithfully by Journey. Because that's my karaoke song.
You hit Journey notes?
I can sing it, actually, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Except in the version that we did last night, Andrew was sitting in front of the mic and I was standing in the middle of the room.
I watched like, that one, yeah. And it was hysterical.
And it's like a little, you know, it's like a stupid webcam mic. So anytime Andrew's making any noise, it's his voice picking up. So he's like, it's just like you can't hear me at all anymore.
It's perfect.
That's good. All right, so like I said, I hope people will go and check that out too, because like it was a shocking thing to me. I didn't know that you could hit those notes. So
yeah, thank you.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So, but you do have that show coming out. You and Andrew are going to do that show. That's Thursday night. When they can get the tickets where? I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's newyorkcomedyclub.com.
Oh, that's okay. So it's straight to the comedy club itself, not through you guys. So, okay, so there you go.
Did you ever perform there?
New York Comedy Club, no. That was where Ellis performed last time. I used to perform at the Boston Comedy Club in Manhattan, which was Barry Katz's club. I used to do that all the time. But, yeah, so there – That's a cool little spot though too. That's the last time. I think that's where Ellis is going to be on Friday.
I think they have two locations. We're in the East Village location. I'm not sure if
that's
he's the
same. That's where he was last time.
Okay, so probably it's the same one because he hooked us up with the show.
Yeah, then probably, Ellis put us in touch with them. He's probably going to be there on Friday because Brett's going to be on that show on Friday night at Ellis's show.
Yeah,
be some other special.
Are you going to be there?
I most likely will be there. I got to see.
Are you there Thursday for?
I'm coming in Thursday morning.
Okay.
Are you going to Ben and Drew's show?
I'm going to try to.
He hadn't broached the subject yet, so I hadn't asked him.
Yeah, I'm going to.
I just did it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to. We got to see where I'm staying, first of all. We got to see where I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
What? What's that? What's some? What's some?
Because
you got to remember. I'm getting in.
You got to remember.
When do you get in?
I get in like Thursday, like 4 o'clock or something like that.
You get 4. What time's your flight?
I'm like at 8 a.m., I think.
I think we're on the same flight.
Really?
So I have no excuse.
He's performing, and you're just sitting.
Where are you staying?
I'm staying in Manhattan.
Where are you staying?
Queens. So
you're staying Queens.
Is that the true answer?
That is a true answer. It is. I'm not saying. If I was staying in Manhattan, no, it is. Yeah. I was saying it was either there or the Meadowlands.
You guys know
the Meadowlands.
I know, Rox. I know you know Jake Iacovetta. He's like an Action Army guy.
Love Jake.
Jake's one of the best.
Cleaned his lip many a times.
Yeah, he's the guy that got sucker punched in Houston. Oh, you hear the story?
No, what
happened?
You
didn't hear what?
This is at the end of the night. Tell this story, though, to the fans, though, because I heard you were there, right, during it?
It was ridiculous.
Tell this story.
He's talking to you.
Oh, I thought you were Rox.
The dynamic is coming up right away.
We did the Houston show.
You guys know each other?
Yeah.
I mean, you just literally said, tell this story. You pointed right at Ben. He looked at me.
Pointed at you.
It was great. It was great.
I believe in you.
He's trying to be – it's your show as much as
your show.
It is my show. For the 200th episode, we brought on Ben Bateman for my show.
Thanks for fucking with Rox, guys. I appreciate it.
Go ahead, Rox. Tell the story.
So Jake, you know, I don't think we had met Jake before, but we go to this bar in Houston, and I called ahead of time that week at this bar, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's wonderful. We have live music. Yeah. It's great. It's totally rocking time. We can give you a private room. We show up. Literally zero people in the bar, one bartender.
And Ben and Drew had convinced all of us.
We all went.
Everyone to go. And it was far. It was very far away.
Yes, it was.
The manager who had like told me he was going to be there wasn't there. It was like this bartender by herself. She like called friends to get them to come help work.
It was they had to get the girl from the next door.
From the next bar, yeah.
Right.
It seemed like that. And she was so slow and there was no booze.
Yeah.
It was no wine bottle opener. We learned that the hard
ridiculous.
Way.
So we're all, you know, we're all.
We put that place. We kept that place in business for the next 6 months.
100%. I mean, Jake, the guy we're talking about, I think 22 shots of vodka at one point.
The guy woke up in the morning. He's like, "What were sales like last night?" Actually, we made $10,000 in like an hour. What?
He had to get vodka too because that's what they offered.
That's what was left. Yeah,
we drank all of the other whiskey and tequila.
Yeah, we're all doing shots and hanging out, having a great time. You know, it's all the Action people, everybody, and. Jake like walks in from outside and he's just gushing blood right all over his shirt. And we're like, what happened? And he's like,
you can't tell if it's coming from his nose, his mouth, like his whole face is covered in blood.
But he's pretty calm. He's not like upset or yelling. He just kind of saunters in. He's got a drink and he's just covered.
Gushing.
And we're like, what happened? He's like, this truck came by and there's like this guy and he's yelling at a girl. And I think he throws the girl out of the car, like out of the street. And Jake's like, dude, you can't do that. Kind of walks up and the guy just sucker punches him. Wow. And the car drives off. Or did the girl get back in the car?
No, I guess the girl like ran off another direction. She was scared or something.
Wow.
But so crazy. From that point on, Roxy went into full caretaker mode. She 100% like took care of Jake for the next 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, because everybody – like some of them know each other but some of them don't. I worked at Children's Hospital forever despite my inability to know anything about babies. But I'm actually pretty good with kids. And so I've had to deal with a lot of wounds on kids. Not that Jake's a kid, but I'm not afraid of like, blood and stuff like that because of how long I worked at the hospital. So he was
– Side angle. Jake is 63 years old.
No, but no. He's probably – I don't know. He's late 20s.
Yeah, something like that. Like yeah, 30 maybe.
Like us. What? and he was like in need of stitches for sure.
Yeah.
It was really fucked up. But you know when you're that drunk and you just don't want to go.
Right.
So I was like, all right, we'll do the best we can. And it just would not stop. He was just bleeding all over the place. And also alcohol is a blood thinner. So
right. So that
it was
help.
Pouring out.
I wonder what happened.
Yeah, well, so the reason I bring up Jake is because, you know, he's one of the generals in the Action Army. In our Patreon, like, that's the level. There's, like, a hand dozen or so people that are there. And Jake bought a ticket for the show. He can't make it to the show, but he wanted me to give it away.
Oh, cool.
So he wanted to give away a ticket to the show to somebody who couldn't get one for themselves. And so
Saul.
Yeah.
Saul's going to wind up getting it.
Who's Saul?
Oh, my God.
Saul, how dare you, sir.
Saul's one of our most consistent callers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, you don't listen to the show if you don't know Saul.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Fucking dog at the bacon. God damn.
That's
good.
Okay.
So you want to give it away today during the calls?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea.
Cool. All right,
so you have to think of a quiz question. That's how we do it.
A quiz question?
Well, if you're going to New York, if you're going to be there, well, you live in New York, but if you are going to the show on either Friday or Saturday, you want to go to the Thursday show with the Action Guys, and you have a chance to win two tickets?
I think he bought one.
Okay.
But then the last thing I was going to say is we have a discount code for patrons. So if you're if you wanted to go to the show you didn't know on patreon.com/teamaction, we can send you a private code. It gets you a discount on the tickets.
So. All right. So make sure we be on the lookout for that when we do that. And the other thing, we have a huge week in the Schmodown this week. It's a really big week.
What's happening?
So if you're at the Patreon level, either $1, $2 tier today and tomorrow, you get the Inner Geekdom match between Jared Haben, who is recently married.
Congratulations. Ashley.
Yeah, he's going to be facing Chandru the Chosen, the new Inner Geekdom star. Those two will be going at it, and the winner will play Brandon Hanna. And then on Thursday is one of the biggest matches that we're probably ever going to do. It's going to be a live streaming match live from Collider Studios. It is a one-time thing because it's live streaming. It's going to be available to the $10 patrons plus you can just get the stream if you just a one-time purchase. But it won't be available to the public for like a week or two. And that's going to be the Shire Wolves, their last match ever. Clark Wolf and Rachel Cushing playing, defending the titles, win or lose, last match against Mike Kalinowski and Chance Ellison for the championships. And we're going to do a little post thing for the Shire Wolves afterwards. It'll be a really big event. And then Friday, to find out who's playing Jeff Snyder, Kalinowski plays again against this man, Ben Bateman, for the chance to play Jeff Snyder to go to New York to play. So you might be Thursday night and Saturday night. How are you feeling going in against Mike?
I mean, I don't like to go full character in interview stuff, but I haven't made any secrets. I don't really think Mike is the best singles player. I think he's fine. I mean, Janish put out stats yesterday on this. I destroy Mike on every level. Accuracy, points, accuracy in all rounds. We have the same exact record. You know, what Mike's done in Intergeek this year is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, he obviously had a great teams match. He had a perfect, actual perfect match.
Right. You've beaten him twice in teams, right?
Yeah, I've never lost Mike. Yeah. So, I'm not scared of Mike. It's anybody's game on anybody's day. And you never know what's going to happen. But I don't exactly have a lot of...
Well, do you think because he's got a lot of hype on him right now. Fans are calling him Mikey Three Belts and all this stuff. Do you think that the fans are overhyping Mike? Or do you think that he's earned, you know, this praise?
Look, I think Mike's a phenomenal character. I think he's done some really, really good stuff. I've said this a couple times, but his moment after beating Smets is one of my single favorite Schmodown moments I've ever seen.
It's a real sports moment.
It is, actually. And the way you called it, too, Kalinowski beats Smets. Right. You totally envisioned yourself as like a boxing promoter at that moment.
Right.
But and then he's crying and all that, and it was real too, because it was the unbeatable Russian, right? That was like his Drago, totally.
Yeah.
And I love that moment. And so there's a lot of things Mike's done as a player, as an actor, that I think are really impressive in the Schmodown. And he does have a lot of heat. But Innergeekdom, I've said before, is there's just a quantifiable amount of information. He has a book because you can make a book. You can't make a book for movies. You can't do that. That's impossible.
I mean, you can, but you don't necessarily think you can miss a lot.
Right. Oh, yeah. Miss a lot of movies. You cover if you're lucky, you know.
The thing that's really similar about both of you guys, though, is that the amount of growth from where you both started. I don't know two players who have changed more and studied more, because when both of you started, you were both decent.
Right.
Could hang, kind of, but middle of the pack. And now you're two of the best players in the league, which is kind of insane. So I'll be curious to see which one of you guys has grown more.
That's why I'm so excited to see this week in general. I mean, you got three really fun matches. The first match is up-and-coming Innergeekdom star and Chandru. Then Thursday's the big one. That's going to be a very emotional
question about that one for you. Thursday? Because, I'm curious what your mind was thinking if it had gone a different way. What if Shire Wolves had not made it to this match? What was the plan?
Odd Couple?
Yeah.
No, Odd Couple would have played Corruption in Orlando.
But what would Shire Wolves have done?
If they probably would have retired at Collision.
You think that would have been the last?
Probably, yeah. Wow. They probably would have stepped down. Probably in the interview, her last match would have been San Diego.
Hmm.
And that would have been – you probably still would have done a special for them, but it would have been right after Collision.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Odd Couple would have played Corruption in Orlando for the titles. So that would have happened. So
I think Shire Wolves had kind of a rough ride in terms of the way that they got the belt in the first place. I think it created such a difficult obstacle for them mentally to go in to continue fighting.
I think your match changed it, though. I think once you guys played them, because I know what you're saying, like when they beat, because they won for the vacant titles, right?
Yeah, people just gave them a lot of crap.
At first they did. And then after you guys played them at Spectacular, that all changed, because that match was so, like, there was a knockout, drag out fight. And now they're, Roxy says that, everybody said, like, they're in consideration, if not the best team of all time.
No, I mean, I don't mean it's justified. I think what's happened is that just because of the nature of that initial win, I think mentally for them, they feel like they needed to keep going and keep fighting to prove, like, more. Even though really, the game, they shouldn't have to. They never had to. They're that good. Especially if you know those players, you know how good they are.
Right. Well, that's why I think there's going to be so many players here on Thursday kind of showing respect, going to be here saying goodbye. It's going to be a really emotional night for all of us.
That's a tough job for Corruption.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to be Corruption in that moment. Whoa. There's not a single person rooting for them.
I think it's lucky for them that they are heels.
Yeah, very lucky.
Because they're going to get booed anyway. Because if it was the opposite side, if they weren't, I mean, that's like that's tough. But they're used to getting booed.
Yeah, 100%.
But you guys can watch. Yes, great. You have one last thing?
If they win, I don't know what the sound is in that room.
Yeah, well, we know that the team's tournament will be for the titles.
Right.
So Burnett had made that clear. So you guys, once again, you want to watch that match Thursday night. It'll be available for about a week or two in the live stream, and then it'll be up for the public in about 2 weeks. So make sure you go and
you should yawn a little louder towards the mic, though. Yeah. I just would like that.
I
happy 200th.
Happy 200th.
Maybe a little louder.
But let's move into some movie stories here, because the big one that we saw, we're getting tagged at a lot, is this He-Man story. Kevin Smith and our buddy Mark Bernardin are working on this anime version for Netflix of He-Man. I know Kevin Smith is a fan of all things geek. I don't know how much his fandom goes into He-Man. I have no idea. I know that he's around the kind of the same age, a little older than us. But
he put out a tweet that made me think his He-Man knowledge is pretty deep.
Good. And I would love to. I'm going to reach out to Mark, but I also see that a lot of people have been reaching out, tagging both Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin, telling them to come on this show to talk about it. Continue to do so. I mean, I would love to get those guys in here, and I'm going to reach out to Mark myself and try to get him in here, because I would love for us to talk. Because I'm curious. I don't know what it's going to look like. Is it going to look like that 2002 version of it was on Cartoon Network, the He-Man show that was on? It's still the best thing that's been put on for He-Man so far, minus the comics, obviously. But that show, are they going to go into that lore? Are they going to make up new lore? Because Mattel,
I think, new.
It's going to pick up after the classic 80s era.
It's a direct sequel, right?
It takes place afterwards.
Yeah. It's going to – and they say there's some unresolved storylines from that classic 80s era that they're going to pick up
many of
the characters' journeys where they left off decades ago.
So it's going to be canon connecting to the 80s series
and
not necessarily the 2002 series. Okay. Well, I mean, I love the 80s series. 2002 was my favorite series, but so they're probably going to go more into what it used to be in the 80s.
Who do you think they're targeting?
It's a good question.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Well, a big fan. I like nostalgia. The 80s era that they're picking up. That's what I grew up on.
Yeah.
But yeah, who else? I mean, I think She-Ra's doing so well on Netflix.
That's probably what it is.
I think it's I think it's for a lot of people.
And unrelated though, right? I heard nothing to do with She-Ra's.
I haven't seen anything that's connected. I know a lot of people were actually asking Bernardin that on some of the Twitter questions I saw.
Well, what I hope that this does, because you have a name like Kevin Smith and someone as creative and talented as a Mark Bernardin as well, that they take this show and they bring the interest back and they get it really popular, right? That then whoever – Sony – when whoever is not getting their shit together with that movie because it keeps – there's so many problems with that actual film that maybe they say, oh, well, this is the way these guys cracked it. Let's try to crack it now in the feature film now because there is a market for it. Because I still think it's these executives who don't understand that if you do it the right way with Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. If you do it that particular – because that's what even the 80s had that feeling that was really goofy and silly at some points. It's still the overall Eternia and like when they got into the stuff with Teela and her mom, there's some good stories there that I think that they could do. And they could do it in the feature film.
But this is my question for you because you have been very vocal about what you think that the feature could be. Do you think that for the TV show then we should go in an opposite direction so that when they ultimately do make that feature, hopefully the way that you want, we've got a different audience, a different genre almost happening? Or do you think that this should be the base for that feature?
No, I think anime, you've got a little bit more room to breathe and do some more stuff. And especially when you get people – because if you look at both Bernardin and Smith, they're in the age range where they get it. They understand what it is. So if they're going to make a continuation off the 80s thing, it's a different vibe, right? But they're not trying – they don't need – they're not putting $200 million plus into a budget to make sure that this thing works, right? So you got to crack the code. They have their vision with Mattel of what they want to do, a continuation. Mm-hmm. So you have – again, you have more room to breathe. And I think that when you get a guy like Kevin Smith and you get a guy like Bernard and with those names, you know, you're going to bring some more buzz to it. So it's a smart play for Netflix. It's a smart play for Kevin Smith. It's on brand for him going back into the geeky shit that he loves in general. And I think that there's going to be some excitement. It's for me, I don't need the anime to be Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings and the serious stuff because that's not – this animation is where it comes from. So there's a different version of it to your question. Then, yeah, I'm excited to see what they bring to it. But when you do the feature
film. So you're not as precious about it. It doesn't have to be only one way.
No, not as precious about it. But I still want it done right. And I have confidence that a guy like Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin can do that and will do that because they understand how judgmental fandom is. And they understand that they want to do it right. And they're not just gonna take the property to take the property. They're going to take their vision and they're going to do something fun with it. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting. It's exciting because it's going to get it back into the zeitgeist.
I think getting like the animated series made, it's kind of the smartest thing if they ever want to get the movie off the ground because if you think about like when you take a property that's a little old at this point, you know, it's maybe a little tired and we're just going to do this again, just like hope people get on board. Look what happened with the new Men in Black. It's like no one cared. No one wanted that. That wasn't something people were talking about. So when that came out, people just didn't go see it, right? Like you talk about like you have to create that hype so when there is that property that comes out, people do want to go see it.
Right.
And I hope that the cartoon works well, but –
Well, this goes back to Roxy's question when you said who are they marketing it to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Ben just brought up is who they're marketing it to. What they want to do is they get this thing popular. Obviously, guys like us, myself and Riley, we're going to watch it because we're going to be excited.
And
you're going to watch it too because you've heard us talk about it so much you're curious too. They got us already.
Yeah, we're in.
But what they need to do is they need to get a new generation on board, and Mattel needs them to get a new generation on board because if they do, it's exactly what Ben just said.
What generation is that you're talking about? Is it millennials? Is it Gen Z? Is it younger? What are you
– Mixture of both.
Okay.
Mixture of both. I mean if you can get the people who watch those shows, who watched She-Ra, who watched all of these shows on Netflix, right, and get them on board that weren't familiar with the property. And now they're like, oh, because there's people out there when you say Masters of the Universe is going to do a show. They're like, well, what the hell is that? I don't know what that is. But if – oh, is it that Netflix thing? Oh, that's the thing Kevin Smith did. Oh, they're going to make a movie out of that now? Then you bring a little bit more out of it.
What do you think is more famous or recognizable, Masters of the Universe or He-Man?
I think He-Man. Probably. The name He-Man, I think, is more recognizable. And now everything moving forward with this property has been Masters of the Universe.
Right. Because Masters of the Universe sounds cooler. Yes. That was the same thing that when we ran into it when I had the project at Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
They did not call it He-Man. They called it Masters of the Universe.
Masters,
because it just sounds cooler. It's like, what's He-Man? You know, but what if they do it the right way,
well, that, he man,
right?
But it's creative. It's just clever when they came up with it.
It was, but if they do it from 2002 version in the movie, if they bring up the movie and they do the 2002 version, then they go with the lore of He-Man was like around thousands and thousands of years ago was who had the sword.
He gets the sword at the end of the movie, the Dolph sword, right?
I don't remember the fucking – that movie is a disaster.
I don't think the sword had anything to do with the movie.
Eternium barely has seen it for like 2 seconds. Yeah. That movie is terrible.
She-Woman.
Yeah, She-Woman. But anyway, so I'm excited to see what Kevin Smith is going to do with this version.
Mark, can I ask you an unrelated question?
Sure.
Was there 30 seconds throughout the conversation that you were holding your breath?
No.
Did you guys all catch that?
I noticed you looking at Mark, and you had this look on your face where I was like, I'm saying something really dumb.
No, it wasn't you. I don't know what happened. You went – and then for like 30 seconds you were
I was breathing. I took a big breath. Yeah. I'm trying to get as much oxygen in my body right now to stay awake.
Oh, okay. That was happening?
Yeah, no.
What happened to you?
Yeah, I don't know.
You hit by a bus?
The puppy. The
puppy. All this shit all over the place last night.
The puppy has diarrhea.
Oh, no.
The puppy has the shit. So for my fiance's birthday, which is today, had a nice 4 a.m. shit all over the carpet in our bedroom.
Birthday present.
Carpet shit.
Speaking of the shit, Christian, why did I get 4,000 messages this week about you having the shits?
Yeah. Because because Riley probably brought it up. What I do every,
I did.
Every
I said
time
he had the shits.
Yeah, every time Riley's out. Riley hacked my bit. After he was out.
When he was out, I said, oh, he has the shit.
Yeah, so he does my thing. So people are tweeting at me.
Now Roxy's going to hold her breath, but there's fart noise.
See, I wasn't holding my breath. Yeah.
Alex, can you do a search for, I wonder if our buddy, Back to the Future Arnold thing.
Oh, yeah.
What about it?
We haven't been tagged by it, though, so.
We never get tagged for it. Just bring up Arnold in Lion King. And then we'll see if he did the new one.
Arnold and Lion King.
Did he do the?
There's Arnold.
That's Arnold's Hulk. He hasn't done it yet. I'm gonna be on the lookout for it.
What happened to our dude? Penis shits or something?
Right. What the hell? Remember?
Our boy.
Why can't I remember?
Fart.
It was like cock fart.
Potato biscuit. Fart.
Potato fart.
Welcome to the show, Ben.
There's a lot of good fart content on this show. Yeah. I usually pick that up.
What's going on with potato fart? Isn't it biscuit?
It's potato.
Oh, here. Turn that up, please.
Here we go.
Oh, my God. He's now at 7,063.
What the fuck is wrong with your voice?
I got fucked by a French guy. I ate his turd sandwich and he peed in my soup. He ripped off my testicles and smacked me with a penis.
Fuck you.
That's the penis
part. You with this oddly shaped dildo.
That's a pencil sharpener, moron.
Oh shit, I thought it was a super dildo.
Well, don't fuck a tater tot next time.
You're just saying that because your
boyfriend... 200.
So, Far Potato, by the way, Far Potato was at, I think, like... maybe 1,000 views.
Less than that.
God, it was like 300 views.
Deserve a cut.
I feel Far like Potato's monetization.
Yeah, but what was sad is we tweeted at Far Potato Creator, and he was like,
he doesn't
this
like
is
it.
An old life. Yeah. I used to do this. I'm very embarrassed of the videos I used to make.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, that's what I did when I was 13.
That's a shame. Yeah. We should reboot it for Netflix.
Say Kevin Smith and Bernard.
Get some buzz on it. What's funny, something I just thought about when you guys were talking about the He-Man thing was my point about Men in Black, and I thought about Cobra Kai, and I was like, there was absolutely zero hunger for that content.
Right,
and if you had told me that YouTube was going to make a series with the original leads from Karate Kid, and this is going to be behind a paywall, I'd be like,
that's
the
ridiculous.
Dumbest decision I've ever heard in my entire life. And it turned out to be like literally my favorite thing of last year.
Yeah,
and that was the narrative for what you're saying. That's what most people said. It's like, I remember when Ryan and I heard about it because we're big Karate Kids fans, and we're like, why are they doing this for? Because you immediately go to Karate Kid 3 or you go to the next Karate Kid.
I think the second that you found out who was working on it and what diehard fans they were of it, then you knew.
And that first trailer.
I didn't know. I knew. We had interviewed Hayden and Josh and all those guys. We had interviewed them before and I knew what good guys they were. But it's like still I'm watching that going, that's a tough sell.
Oh, yeah.
And because you don't know the tone. You never know the tone the way that they're going to do it. And that's why I think doing a project like this for Kevin Smith and Bernard is a good move. But all right, let's move on to the phone calls. We're going to turn the phone lines on here.
Yeah, buddy.
We got Ben Bateman on. Ben, think of a – you know what? You can – whatever caller we have, and if you're calling in from New York or if you can go to the New York shows, you got to tell us up top when you call in, because then you'll be eligible to win the ticket.
So, ticket.
Yeah. So Ben will listen to the calls, and you decide if you really like the call, okay, and you really think it is, you know, is it, you don't have to make the decision right away because there'll be a few calls, but you can award. Just write. You should write down the names of the callers as they come in, so you can reward at the end who you think if they're eligible. Yes. Thank you.
Got it.
All right. So let's turn those phone calls on, and then I guess Alex, you'll let us know when the phone calls come in. Oh, I guess we got a phone call. Hey, you're on Collider Live. Who do we got?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? Who do we have?
Kayla. Mark might remember me from last week.
From last week, you called in. Yeah,
he does. Well, clearly.
Yeah. Right. So,
vagina.
Well, let me ask you first, Caleb. So, are you on the East Coast?
Yes, I am.
Will you be eligible to see the action show on Thursday night?
Unfortunately not. I would be working early in the morning around about like 5 a.m.
Oh, okay. Will you be coming to the show on Saturday night?
It depends, but I might be able to. Please,
okay, please. We'd love to have you there, because if not, we were going to hang up. I'm just kidding. So what do you got for us today?
I have two questions, sure, if that's okay, if I can squeeze two questions in.
Yes.
Okay, my first question is, it's something that I've been thinking about ever since Avengers Infinity War came out, and I've been trying to talk to people about this. Did Vision know what was going to happen in Endgame, and that's why he was so willingly, quickly giving up his stone?
Right, I guess that's true, because he had the Time Stone, right? Mm. Oh, no, he didn't have the Time Stone. He had the Hell Stone.
Mind Stone,
right. Riley, I'm going to let you answer this, because I have no answer to this question.
It's a good theory. I think that he could have known, and I think I also read it that he just knew his days were numbered.
Yeah,
and,
same.
You know, and that he was Vision was a great character, that he was trying to save Wanda, save the Avengers, and so he was like, look, this is the best way to do it for now.
Yeah. I think,
and maybe WandaVision will shed some light on everything like that.
Same kind of thing as Doctor Strange, my favorite character, where you know it could be, but you don't necessarily know what will be, right. And you know it might be a possibility, but I'm sure that they're going to probably explore that in WandaVision.
Yeah, they can, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. All right, so question two.
And my second question, a notification popped up on my phone saying that Taika Waititi had lunch with Ryan Gosling, and there was a whole speculation about him being in Thor 4. Hmm. Have you heard about that?
Have not, but that'd be interesting. But you know, Taika Waititi's working on so many different projects; it could be anything. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
could he, also be friends.
He could be a voice in Flash Gordon.
Could all be friends. Yeah.
He could be
buddies, right?
Yeah. So he's doing a secret project before Thor 4.
So he's
premiering Jojo Rabbit, right? You know, in the next few months, and then he's going to do a smaller movie again, and then go into Thor 4. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's it.
My bet would that it'd be the smaller movie, but you know.
Gosling's got comic chops. He could fit into the Ragnarok tone.
Easily. He hasn't really done anything inside that world yet, right?
No, they just keep signing everyone, so it's surprising they haven't got to him yet.
I know, it's true. All right, well, thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. So she's not eligible.
Yep.
No, she's not going to be there.
But we love her.
It is one ticket. I got confirmation.
From Jake? Okay, right, great.
Cool. Tell Jake to be quiet. I'm going to pop him in the mouth. Yeah. I'm kidding. All right, we got another phone call here, guys?
Yeah.
We got to put the call-in number on the screen.
Is the call-in number on the screen?
No.
Well, we got to do that. Hey, you're on Collider Live. Who do we got?
Mm-hmm. Hey, this is Ty from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. How are you guys today?
Hey, man. What do you got for us today?
I've been on a bit of a Tarantino kick ever since Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out, and I was curious to what your guys' favorite Tarantino scenes or moments are. Like, mine is the commode story from
Reservoir Dogs,
where he's in the bathroom telling the story about the drug deal that almost went awry and stuff like that. So what were your guys' thoughts on that?
I mean, I think an easy answer that a lot of people pick, but I want to be the first one to say it on today's show, is the Inglourious Bastards, the opening scene. It does everything in filmmaking and in writing and in acting that you want a scene to do. You are just on the edge of your seat. You feel you sweat it out. You just it's so intense, but it's written so well. It's like it's you laugh at points when you know you don't want to laugh because of everything happening. You're scared. You're in every single emotion in that scene. I think it's just brilliantly written, acted, directed, everything. So.
I'm gonna go an oldie but goodie because it's one that I had to go back and see in the theaters over and over again. Royale with Cheese.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction, and that was the first Quentin Tarantino moment for me where I went, this is the most brilliant writing I've ever heard. I have to study this scene because it's two hitmen talking about his trip, and then it goes into the foot massage, and it goes all right in. We got a little bit of time. Let's hang back. And that conversation between Vincent Vega and Jules is the best.
Yeah. He says, let's get into character, right?
Yeah, let's get into character.
I think the answer for me, favorite movie, is Pulp Fiction. And when I rewatched all the Tarantino movies recently, what I realized is that Pulp Fiction is in this class of movie that's like – it's like the Back to the Future class of movie where it's like a transcendent generational movie.
Yep. Right.
So it stands so far above almost anything else, any other movie, because if you actually ask the question, what are the three most iconic scenes in Tarantino's entire career, I think they're just all from Pulp Fiction.
Mm.
All of them.
You don't think that one comes out for the
– Oh, Inglourious is probably – I mean what you're talking about, it's a favorite scene of mine. But I think for me the scene – it's right after you're talking about it. It's the big Kahuna Burger moment.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Ezekiel 25:17 is the slow turn. You see Jules' eyes.
Yeah.
If you, in like a Tarantino montage, that's always the shot they show. Mm-hmm. And it's just the one that sticks out. And then the dancing. Like how's the – you know, Vincent Vega, that's like –
That's
the,
true. So. Yeah, well, we still get that meme now all the time.
I know.
With a gift.
How
about you?
I like, what is it? The epi or whatever. Yeah, that's
the adrenaline shot.
The adrenaline shot.
It's a good scene.
For sure. And then the amount of Halloween costumes that came from that, which I really appreciate and respect.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the phone call. All right. We got the number up on the screen now, gentlemen?
Indeed, we do.
Oh, thank you so much. Do we have another call? Thank you. Hey, you're on Collider Live. Who do we got?
Cool.
No.
Hey, you're on Collider Live. Who do we got?
Mm-hmm.
No one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Boom. Bye.
See you later.
Good.
All right. So, there you go. Good.
Hope Cody's having fun with his baby.
That's
Cody's fault. I bet Cody is overwhelmed.
Yeah. So basically, Adam or Alex, whoever's in, when we have a call, just keep hitting the yeah button. That way I know we have a call.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I guess we're waiting for the call.
So how's everybody doing today?
Now, Derek.
Yeah, the number is on the screen, guys. Calling in. We have
and we have a ticket to give away for New York.
And what we can do also is that why don't you tweet right now that you're giving away a ticket. We'll retweet it, and then if we don't get a caller in to do it, what we'll do is then you can just pick somebody off your tweets.
There it is.
You guys see me? I just poked myself in the eye. You see it or no?
How?
I don't know.
I didn't see it. I was holding my breath.
Yeah. You really were doing that. It was weird.
Hey, you're on Collider Live. What do we got?
Have you ever been kicked out of a movie theater?
I'm not going to answer that until I find out who's asking me that question.
Hello?
All right, he hung up.
Oh.
What do you think happened? Panic?
That was a great question. It's a good question, though. I mean, we wanted to hear your name, dude.
I've never been kicked out of a movie theater. No.
Ominous tone. I was like, there's got to be a bit here.
Have you ever been kicked out of a movie theater? Do you want to be kicked out of a movie theater? I'll tell you how to get kicked out of a movie theater. Take your pants off. Well, no, get out of here.
Have you ever been kicked out of a movie theater?
I got close when I was like 15. We got into a throwing milk duds thing with some kids in the front. They got kicked out because they took it to the next level.
Losers.
Yeah.
No, you've never been kicked out?
I've never been kicked out of a movie theater.
No.
I never have.
Never have I either. I got kicked out of Fenway Park, though.
Did you?
I've heard this story before.
What did you do?
Were you just drunk?
Way too drunk.
Yeah.
And I got me and maybe 16 other people kicked out.
Oh,
holy shit.
Brutal.
They hated you.
Oh, they were pissed. And the second inning.
Oh, no.
Oh, so early.
You were hammered that quick? Did you start drinking before the game?
Oh, my God. It was an extreme amount.
How long ago was this?
Not that long. maybe like 5 years ago. It was a doozy, and everybody was like, what the fuck?
Who were they playing? Don't say the Yankees.
I don't know the answer. Oh. I really don't remember any part of the game.
Because if they were playing the Yankees, you wouldn't have
friends. Who were they playing? I don't know why I'm asking.
It couldn't have been the
name of the guy, the name of the team, and the you know.
Yeah. All right, let's do.
No,
call.
I don't think it was the Yankees. I think it was random. Whenever I was home.
Yeah, another call. All right. Hey, you're on Collider Live. Who do we got?
This is Drew from Virginia.
Hello, Drew. I take it you're not going to be in New York next week.
It's not that far.
Yeah, it's only 4 hours. I would be there Saturday night.
Well, Saturday night. Will you be there? But would you be eligible for the Action Guys ticket on Thursday?
I think so.
Okay.
Eligible. Okay. All right. Drew.
Eligible.
Name's Drew.
Hashtag Drew. Guy okay. Girl.
All right, Drew. So what do you got for us today?
Hey, quick question. Epic Rap Battles put out a comedian rap battle. I didn't know if you had seen it. It was Richard Pryor versus George Carlin.
I did see that.
A whole bunch of comedians.
Yeah, I saw it a while. It was good. It was a while ago, right? I think though.
What is it, Christian?
Have you ever seen the Epic Rap Battle?
I guess
before?
Not.
Oh man, Epic Rap Battles. They have like either people from history, and they go and like have an actual like really well written.
But people are pretending to be them.
Yeah, it's okay. Characters, okay, right? So. They did one between Carlin and Pryor, and I think they had Robin Williams in it at one point, right?
Yeah.
See that they dropped the ball there, and I think the guy was fine that they got, but why they didn't reach out to Jamie Costa?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And
yeah.
Then, like you have to have Jamie Costa
He's
in there.
So good.
It's like they reached out to this other guy, and the guy was fine. It was like it was a subpar impression as opposed to when Jamie Costa becomes Robin Williams.
Yeah.
But I love Epic Rap Battles because it's very, very well written and they're very smart.
It's like pretty PG too, right?
Sometimes. Yeah. They'll get pretty dark with some stuff too. Okay. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Did you like it?
I did. And I thought about you immediately, you know, obviously with all the comic references and you guys have talked about comedians, famous comedians in your thoughts. So I was just curious what you thought about
it. Yeah, definitely. I liked it because Carlin and Pryor are my two favorites. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for the phone call.
Right, you know, he's
the eligible
to...
for the giveaway, though, right? So
he's eligible. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you might. I mean, at this point, with the way that the phone lines are working today, so you probably. Have
but
to...
we need to find how to contact him.
Yeah.
Remember how Riley says like DM me or tweet at me or something.
All right. If you're still listening. DM. Hit Ben up on Twitter.
Yeah, Ben Babe Media on Twitter. Send me a message if you really will go. If you'll come on Thursday.
I think he hung up.
I hung up on him. We got a new caller.
All right, let's do it. Hey, you're on Clatter Live. Who do we got?
This is Jeremiah Morris from Indiana.
Hey, Jeremiah.
One of the best. One of the best.
So what do you got for us today?
I got two questions for you both about the show.
Okay.
The shirts. I was wondering, when are you going to get Ben Babe in another shirt?
Ben Bateman, another shirt. Well, the Bosch. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to probably. This is something that I'm going to do today. We have
what?
What?
You're going to get him another shirt today?
No, not today.
I'm going to spin again. You told me spin again. That was the thing.
Spin
you told
again.
Me
I do like that one. I'm going to spin again. But no, we are putting out a shirt that it's actually already out. I just haven't promoted it yet. But the 2019 tour shirt.
Yeah,
and that shirt will be out. It's got Bateman. It's got a bunch of people on it. So it's all the cities that we've done, and it's a big. It's a very kind of reminiscent to the old school WWE type of shirt. And
it's got all their faces.
It's got everything.
Am I on
it? It's really cool. You might be. I don't know yet. I don't remember. I think you are.
Whoa.
Have a look. But thank you for asking. The boss will get another one. Do you have another? You had a second question?
Yes. This is kind of a weird one. It's for Riley.
Okay.
There in my there's a thing that comes up that shows, you know, people on their phone, and I could swear you're in that promo thing.
I actually
have you ever done anything like that?
That is me, and I actually directed that spot.
What is it?
It's a NATO spot, National Association of Theater Owners, and they were doing the anti-piracy campaign that I was hired to direct, and it's. A number of vignettes. Michael Cornacci is in it. Yeah, you'll still see the posters every once in a while, and that spot still pops up every once in a while. I am in the background because I needed to fill some extras in, so that was me.
That's awesome.
That's funny. Yeah. All right, thank
good
you.
Good eyes.
Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, yeah.
All right, cool. Let us know when you get another one.
When I said good eyes, it sounded like an Aussie good day.
Yeah, I do.
Good eye.
Good eyes.
Good eyes, sir.
Good eyes, Mike.
Good eyes.
I do not have good eyes anymore. Hey, you're on Clatter Live. Who do we got?
Hey, this is Jordy from Oceanside, California.
Jordy, what's up, man? What do you got for us today?
Jordy's a hot guy name.
Cool.
And first of all, before I ask my question, I just want you to know that I called out of work today just to call in.
Oh,
nice.
Wow. Whoa.
Well done, sir.
You called out of the whole day of work to call in for like maybe 30 seconds, Jordy?
Hey, give him some time. Give him some time.
And no guarantee that you're going to get on, especially when Saul's out there.
Jordy, you're a baller.
Jordy, how many times have you pulled this move?
The first time.
Wow. Mazel tov.
Crazy move.
All right. Hang on. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So what do you got for us today?
So my question is pretty much just for Christian. And then, I don't know, I saw a lot of conversations yesterday on the group just because you've been posting like things about with Brett and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it kind of reminded me of something from a couple years ago when somebody asked you what you wanted, how you see yourself, and the schmoes in 5 years, and you were talking about how you were talking about a maybe building a production company out of it or something like that.
Right.
Like, whatever happened to that?
Nothing ever changed. Nothing ever stopped. The vision is still there. And like I said, Brett and I are going to be doing our own show. And we'll be doing something very – I mean, it's obviously very different. This show will continue. Obviously, we'll be on 5 days a week. And Brett and I will be doing our show. I think there it's going to be a little bit more comedy-based, and it'll be the two of us. And we're starting with that. And if other things come along, like I said, Schmodown – Inside Schmodown will be a full-on hour-long show now with Roxy Stryer and Ken Knapsack. So there's always more ideas and more things to come from that. So just – It just built out a little studio and just doing some fun things.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you guys.
You got it, man. Thanks for the
phone
call.
Jordan.
Thank you.
I cannot believe he called.
Yeah.
Out of work.
Well, you know, that's awesome. I mean, he's you know, that's
we're a fan of people calling out of work.
Sure.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a hardcore fan. Man.
You guys should skip school also. while we're at it.
Well, I'm hoping that Jordy's the type of guy that now he's going to be watching and listening to the new show as well as this show and other opportunities. Oh, well, Jordy, can you check the poll? Well, before we get to the call.
Ooh, for the shirts?
I want to check the poll on the shirts.
Oh, I have not put it up yet.
What?
What?
Yeah, no.
I'm running three computers here and the sound.
We took a break.
It's got to be Can I Come, right? I feel like Alex. That's the winner. It's the one I've heard the most.
What? Which one?
Which one? Can I Come?
I mean, Can I Come?
I think you've heard it the most because you've hung around me the most.
That's a good point.
I think that's the show will probably be the first one.
That's the show.
It seems fitting.
Right, that's the show's a good one.
Yeah. Hey, you're on Collider Live. Who do we got?
Good afternoon, everybody. DJ Snacks calling in.
Hey,
DJ Snacks in the his house.
What's up, Snacks? What do you got for us today?
Well, unfortunately, I won't be making the New York trip next week.
Okay. Well, Ben's is going to
So I'm not that. Eligible for that. Yeah. But I am looking very much forward to Arizona when you guys come out next month.
Awesome. Yeah. Have you gotten your tickets already?
Absolutely. I'm doing the whole VIP thing again. You awesome. Know.
I know.
So I'm not going to skimp on that one, man.
No, I know. And this is going to be a good one. So what do you got for us today?
The whole Masters of the Universe thing, I just wanted to comment on that.
Sure.
I'm in that kind of same age group as you and Riley, and I hope they do go back more to the 80s cartoonish type. Not as cartoony, but that kind of lore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, that the lore that they had inside the 80s was really good.
Well, it sounds like that's what they're doing.
Yeah, well, the lore, it was very goofy, though. It was very goofy at times. And I would like to stray away from too goofy because that's what I liked about the 2002. Right. But again, you got Kevin Smith's humor. Who knows? But sorry, please, DJ Snacks, continue your point.
Well, no, that basically you just said the exact what I was trying to say. It was less cartoony, but still that kind of same lore. The other one thing I wanted to bring up is, as you are aware, you've done a little work to help out on this. The Movie Trivia Facebook Discord Patreon League for the Schmodown is putting out the first ever family face-off match this weekend. It'll drop on Sunday.
Awesome. Well, we've got – I mean, that's a cool thing, though, too, because basically what we did is we're starting up if you did the $2 Patreon tier at all. If you're a part of it, you can be part of the Patreon fan league, which is something – we're actually working on something pretty big with that, and we'll have more updates towards the end of the season about what's going on with the Patreon fan
league. It was loud.
But it was.
Wow.
sounds like wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's falling away.
That's an old
I feel
hat.
Like dust should be falling
John
off.
Daughters, yeah, totally.
It just
John
proves.
Mariano's daughters. Yeah. John Mariano, friend of the show.
Yeah.
His daughters are taking on Chris Engel's daughters.
Right.
And it's going to be
crazy.
A great match. Everybody,
awesome.
Please make sure
so
you
nice.
Tune into that on Sunday.
Check that out. Well, thank you so much for the for the call, and that's a lot of fun. But look, that's hashtag. That's the show.
That's the show.
That's the show?
That's the show.
One more.
Want to do one more?
Yeah.
It's 200.
What if somebody else called out of work?
All right, we'll do one more.
Strong point.
Hey, you're on Collider Live. Who do we got?
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. This is Dylan calling.
Hey, man. What do you got for us today?
I fought for you, man.
Oh, thank you. I just want to ask a couple of questions. This first one's for Christian.
Sure.
All right. Since you're going to D23, are you going to be going by yourself to do coverage, or is there anybody else from the Collider crew that's going to be going?
Well, I know Ellis will be there for sure.
Perry? Cool. Roka?
I don't know. No. I don't know if Roka's going. Perry goes to everything. I assume Perry's going to be there. I think they're going to be sending – Frosty or something. I think they're definitely sending somebody from the website also.
I think like Wendy was going too.
Yeah,
there's definitely going to be Collider people.
I think there's going to be some more Collider people than just me there. Yeah, because I'm also going. I'm covering for both Collider and for the Schmoes.
Are you going?
D23?
Mm-hmm.
No, I go to Vegas on Thursday for the thing.
Okay, so what was your other one?
Magic thing.
Okay, the second one, this is for all of you guys. This is more like a prediction thing for D23, if that's okay, if we could do something like that.
Definitely.
Sure.
Okay, since you know we're going to be getting, like, news, like, we're going to get the Obi-Wan series, and we're going to get trailers for, like, the Mandalorian and stuff, that's going to be a definite, but in your honest opinion, what do you guys think is going to be announced that we don't know? Like, for example, they're going to announce, like, a live-action movie for an animated classic that we don't know, or, like, new Star Wars movies and, you know, Marvel Phase 5. What do you guys think will get announced that we don't know yet?
Thank you for the call. It was a great question. I think that the one that we didn't know got spoiled.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be anything now that we don't know. Yeah, I think it was Obi-Wan.
They might do some fun stuff, like less – not as big, you know, from maybe like he was just saying. Like there's a classic animation one that they bring back that people are like, oh, that's really cool. But that was the big one about Ewan McGregor coming out. That was the big one, if it was.
And all that MCU stuff, we just got that at SDCC, so we're not going to get any more of that.
Yeah, there's no way we're going to get Phase 5 announced.
They broke all of the news. Like it was the biggest day of
MCU. But that's all film stuff. That's all film stuff.
Like three TV shows or whatever?
Yeah.
So three much TV news.
Right. That's true. That's true. Trailers.
Do you think anything,
big thing, yeah.
anything with that we'll see with the High School Musical Disney Plus show or the Jeff Goldblum Disney Plus show?
There'll probably be some like quick mentions of it and stuff too. But I think as far as the focus and the feature, it's going to be on the Marvel and Star Wars stuff.
You don't think
the live action.
Any chance of some more information on Benioff and Weiss, whether it's a title, whether it's the, you know,
that's
yes,
film,
it's
yeah.
taking it's yes, it's taking place in the Old Republic, or yes, we are making a Knights of the Old Republic.
You think this
movie?
You're talking about Saturday.
Saturday.
I think there's a title.
You don't think so?
Title?
No way.
You're not going to get the title, but I think
or at least some mention of
some
like,
news.
Hey, this is what they're doing.
I think it's a good possibility.
Yeah.
I would say.
I have this feeling.
40%, which is high.
Yeah.
He's got a feeling.
Yeah.
I got a feeling.
Which it could. I think it could work. But look, that
I'm
is.
I'm glad
the,
we took one more.
Yeah, that is
for
the show.
200.
That is the show. Thank you guys for joining us on 200. Thank you to Ben Bateman for joining us. Go on to Ben's Twitter to win that ticket to get to the show on Thursday night.
At Ben Bateman Media.
That's right. Next Friday is Mark Ellis' comedy show. Saturday night is the Big Schmodown in New York. Tickets still available. Go to the schmodownlive.com. Also available for both Florida in October and September is Arizona. And then December, who's calling me right now?
Pick up. I dare you.
That's my editor. All right. So do all that stuff. Get all those tickets. And remember Shire Wolves on Thursday night, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game, so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We begin today's meditation with a few sipping exercises to remind us a little treat can go a long way. So pick up your McCafe iced coffees, close your eyes, and deep sip in. And deep satisfaction out.
Take a treat retreat at McDonald's. Right now, get a McCafe iced coffee in any size and any flavor for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price of participation may vary.